B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
And a party it shall be. The Wednesday edition of the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic is brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters. Bradford White is here for the pro. Critical homestand began last night for the Phillies versus the Tampa Rays. Echoing memories of 13 years ago in the World Series, the atmosphere last night at the ballpark appeared to be just like, no, it really wasn't. Friends and family at the game last night, at the critical game of the homestand, which I really wonder if Philadelphia really considers it a critical game of a homestand. It was, I think there were more people at Saturday Mass at St. Coleman's than were there last night. I was shocked. I expected a little more energy, a little more excitement. The Rays are a really, really good team. Phillies obviously don't have a lot of people believing in them. And maybe the people who don't believe in them are the right people. Because, again, the bats are just non-existent. Tampa comes in and Phillies have seriously no fight to them, no energy to them. Odubel Herrera has been their best hitter for the month of August. But the way this team plays defense is absolutely atrocious. The Yankees come in. We tell you about the advantage you got right now to take advantage of something while the Yankees are playing the Braves. And the Yankees take a two-game series from the Braves. They give you every opportunity. They kick the door open. They say, come on, walk through, walk through. Phillies can't walk through. Mets can't either. Mets are worse than them. It's been a disastrous couple weeks. They lose 8-0 last night at home. It's disappointing. The opportunity is there. You have Zach Wheeler on the mound tonight to try to split the series with Tampa. And that's what I thought you had to do. This is a team that's 30 games over 500 in Tampa. So it's not some slouch operation coming in here and embarrassing you. The slouch operation that's coming in to embarrass you is coming in this weekend. The one that embarrassed you last week. So you get a chance to rebound against them in those four games. But tonight, Zach Wheeler's got to get back to being Zach Wheeler. Because you have that opportunity. You've got the half game on the line. Take advantage of it tonight. Cut the lead to four. And then get ready to feast on the Diamondbacks. Oh, wait a minute. That was my notes from last week. Bob and Jamie and Pat are here. Connor's here. Mike's here. Coach is here. It's the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic as we get started this morning. And Bob, it about sums it up, is I've never seen a worse defensive team in my life in Major League Baseball, but I don't watch other teams. I watch this team.
Yeah.
They're terrible.
Well, you know, in Odubel Herrera, you have a center fielder, but you also have a guy that, let's face it, this has been, you know, one of the definitions of him throughout his career. He's not the smartest baseball player in the world.
I think that's incredibly fair.
Yeah, whether it be running the bases or whatever. And when you have somebody playing out of position, you hope that their smartness can overcome any physical deficiencies that they may have. His physical deficiency is he doesn't know really how to play angles in left field, and that's not against him. He's a center fielder. And last night, the route he took on that ball was just horrible. And you get a really good outing from Ranger Suarez. But then
really
once
good
again,
job by him.
Yeah, but then once again, before the game starts, your team MVP, as labeled by one Jamie Lynch, is out again with the groin thing.
Yep.
Odd that he's not there. I understand what Joe Girardi said after the game that, look, he's not going to be an everyday guy. But if you're not an everyday guy and you play seven innings of a game, then have a day off, shouldn't you be available?
I can't fathom it.
I don't know. I'm not going to question another guy's injury. I'm really not.
This city, Bob, and load management is worse than any city in America. It's a constant discussion. Whether it's the Phillies, whether it's the Sixers, whether it's load management in this city is obsessed with it, the franchises.
It seems like it. And look.
After a day off.
I started to get the feeling. So my first feeling was, are you kidding me? If you're going to manage this guy, well, you got your day off.
Yes.
You got your day off, so he should be ready to go. Then part of me was saying, okay, maybe he's really hurt and he's playing through something, and God bless him if that's what he's doing, where maybe a normal guy would be put on the IL perhaps for the rest of the year. But I don't, watching Sunday's game, and he comes back after being on the IL for a couple of, since August 5th. Watching Sunday's game, yeah, he hit a couple of home runs. You don't have to sprint or anything there. But I don't remember him laboring all that much.
I went back and looked at it this morning, looked at the highlights. He doesn't labor. And Jamie, this is so now Rhys Hoskins needs 2 days off?
Yeah.
After playing one game, he needs 2 games off? Or are they just peeing on your leg and telling you it's raining? Like, I don't know what they're doing.
I don't either. I mean, you know, the only bit of information we got was T-Mac saying that Joe feels like he needs to manage his injury. So, I don't know. After a day off, it's weird because you might as well see how he responds after a day off. I don't get it after giving him a spark after his return. But once again, defense bites his team in the ass after a good performance from Ranger Suarez.
It cost them an extra run.
But 2-1 is, you know, that's it. You got a game. It's frustrating, you know, and then, that's one of the hardest hit balls I've seen a Citizens Bank. Give me a break.
Stop.
Okay, it had an exit velocity of 113 or something. Cool.
Seriously.
I looked up the defensive run saves this morning when I was reading everything.
How bad was it? Is that when you threw up in your mouth?
Yeah, I puked everywhere. They're 10 runs worse than the second to worst team in baseball.
That's bad, amazing.
Oh, they are. Okay, I have terrible. It right here. They are minus 48 defensive runs saved on the year. Worst in baseball. Tigers are 29th at minus 39.
Wow.
And to put it in perspective, the top, you know, five teams in the league are all positive 50. There's 100 runs difference between the top teams in baseball and the Phillies when it comes to just defensive purposes. I've never seen anything like this. All inept.
We demanded that Pat be the one to bring positivity this morning to the Philly story. So, Pat, you ready? Oh, you didn't read your homework assignment? That was your homework assignment.
Ranger Suarez, there's your positive.
Ranger was fantastic, who Jamie wanted to take out of the rotation yesterday morning.
I enjoyed watching him pitch.
He was fantastic.
You want me to bring positivity to this team? to the team that...
All right, I'm setting you up for failure.
Is
that right? See, now
7 hours ago, I mean, they lost another golden opportunity. You know, last year you have the bullpen, and the bullpen cost you a playoff spot because they were the worst in baseball. And this year it's the defense. What's it going to be next year? I mean, why can't this team just get it together? This is embarrassing. You know, you have golden opportunities with the Braves losing, and you can't capitalize. And your bats, and then Joe Girardi, and managing injuries, and
I think what we're saying is the Braves are just a superior organization in a terrible division because the Yankees come in red hot, Braves come in red hot, beating up on bad teams, and then the Braves get beaten twice in a row.
Yeah, it's beating up on bad teams is the key. Yes. Beating up on teams that you should beat up on.
What the Phillies and the Mets can't do, the Braves can do.
Yeah.
And that's all it is.
Yeah, exactly. And Pat just mentioned it quickly, but I think it might be a bigger part. We talk about the defense, Girardi, Hoskins, whatever it may be. Let's not forget, they only had 6 hits again last night.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Look, I know Hoskins is a big part of this team, but Herrera's hitting well. Segura's been hitting well all year. Harper, Real Muto, Didi Gregorius. All right, sorry, those are 5 guys right there that should be able to get you, just those 5 guys should be able to get you more than 6 hits on a daily basis.
They should.
But
your
6 through 8
spots are not major league starting quality players.
Now, when you have a 218 Brad Miller hitting 6th in your lineup and playing first base, and Torres is playing 3rd simply because you don't have anybody. Yeah.
He's fantastic for what he's brought defensively to this team.
Well, I'm good with Freddie.
It's unbelievable.
Replacing him because Freddie's just as good in the field and brings about 50 points higher batting average.
Yeah.
So, see ya. I mean, Jankowski's just... He's a fine bench bat if he's the last man on your bench. We have about 2 or 3 guys starting that aren't starters in the league. It's just that simple.
It's bad. It's bad. The Rhys needs nights off thing is just going to piss me off. Tell us what's going on. Tell us what's going on with him. If he plays one game and needs 2 days off, Pat, just stop lying to us. Just tell us what's going on.
I don't know. I have no idea. Like, what the hell is this? He had a day off. This is ridiculous. This is what Joe Girardi's done all season.
where it doesn't make sense. You have days off, and you have days off coming up, but you don't rest guys, and then you do rest guys, and you just had a day off. And it's the most Joe Girardi bonehead dip you know what move in the world.
Wow,
for him to do this. It's like we all sat here and said yesterday, man, we kind of underestimated how important Rhys Hoskins was to the lineup. And it's thank God we have him back. Joe Girardi goes, well, I really underestimated
he gets
how
another
important
day.
We need to save him. What, save him for what? It's late August.
Well, here's the weirdest thing about it and what really turned me off is Girardi before the game says, yeah, Rhys can't go every day. He's going to be off today. I'll have him as a pinch hitter, but he's going to go tomorrow. Should be able to go 9 innings because we're going against a left-hander.
And that's what was,
really?
That's the next thing in the notes for me is that he says, well, we got a left-hander going tomorrow.
So it's more analytics than it is.
Correct.
Or are they both tying in? I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
If it's a two-game series, I guess it doesn't really matter which game. Like,
yeah, but I mean, why are you giving him the night off after he had one off?
Well, giving him one night of the two off is my point. You might as well start him versus the guy he's better success rate
against.
No, if you're
trying to manage him coming off an injury, you play him the day after he had a day off, and then you give him another day off, and then you bring him back the next game, and so that way he plays day off. So if you're talking about it being due to injury, it doesn't make any sense to have him have 2 days off and then play him. That doesn't make any sense. It's exactly the opposite of what you would do.
Now, he said that if he would have played him yesterday, that he wouldn't have been available today.
Which is so. Just, how does he know that?
I don't know.
How do you know that?
And the reason
so that means he's going to have 2 days off this week then.
Like it's an every other day thing.
No,
and when you can grab an extra day, which I guess is what the Girardi just did. But so Hoskins just missed 14 games. Mm-hmm. Okay. He was on the IL from August 5th until he returned on Sunday. These are just numbers out there, don't really prove anything, but so I've always labeled this team, they're just a 500 team. That's what they are. So during his 14 games out, they went 6-8.
Right.
Okay. Close to 500. They won 3 in a row, 1 point, lost 4 in a row. They averaged 2.86 runs a game that the Phillies did during the 14 games he was out, but they only let up 3.79. 3.8 runs a game isn't too bad.
They were in there. They were in the game.
In 14-game stretch, it just shows the unbalanced nature of this team and why they're like a 500 team, because when one thing's going well, the other one doesn't go well and vice versa, and that's why it's so frustrating.
Hey, at Wawa, they've always had you covered, and now they're adding even more with delivery, curbside, and order ahead options in the Wawa app. Download the Wawa app today. So we started out with negativity there in order to get to positivity. And that was our agenda. We told you about it yesterday, is that there are still positive things, even if you believe a team is going to be subpar, meaning below 500 type team, going into a season. The idea that there is still positive, still excitement, still reason to be interested in an Eagles season, other than just you're the biggest fan and you love Eagle Sundays. So we decided that each of us, each hour, was going to focus on something that could bring you positivity regarding your Philadelphia Eagles. I'm going to get it started because so much of the conversation regarding this offseason has been negative. But I'll get it started here because I know this, especially Jamie, this crew that I work with is really, really good at finding a positive, at finding a balance. And we strive to do that every single day. We strive to not just come in and say, let's put up a poll question and tell you how crappy things are and let's beat it into the ground and bludgeon people. No, we're
fair weather idiots.
We're trying to be a little bit balanced. So I'll start it with this one. And I think I took the easiest one off the board and screwed the guys over because I took the easy one. It's the lines of scrimmage. It's both offensive and defensive lines. Eagles are clearly a top 10 team. If you take offensive and defense lines of scrimmage, 32 teams. So what did the geek do yesterday? Other than watch, I watched a little of Dr. Oz yesterday, which is really terrible. I looked at lines of scrimmage, offensive and defense on the depth charts, went down ESPN.com on every single team. Eagles are clearly top 10. Now, that is all assuming health, which with the Eagles, you can never assume health because they're a walking MASH unit most years. But if you're just talking about talent, there aren't
there aren't nine other teams in the NFL that would say that more than that, that would say, yeah, I'll take our team over what the Eagles have. So I think that's a positive, especially if you are one of the people who believes that games are won on the line of scrimmage. This Eagles team has a chance to do that. And I know that that's something, Jamie, that has been a talking point of yours is that, you know, again, you can't assume health, especially with the Eagles, but you can be, I'm impressed with at least the starting depth chart of every, I looked at every team in the NFL. There aren't nine other teams, maybe, would say, we're okay with what we have. We wouldn't want what the Eagles have. There's a bunch of teams that would kill to have what the Eagles have.
Oh, yeah, and I think it's their deepest position, too, the defensive line. When you have a Josh Sweat and a Ryan Kerrigan as your rotational pieces, Hassan Ridgeway is fine. He's shown he's a capable NFL D tackle, and that's your depth. And then you have a lot of money up front, you know, Brandon Graham. Derek Barnett, never underestimate a guy playing for money, so he's in a contract year. You're probably going to see the best Derek Barnett you've seen to date. Him and Josh Sweat on one side of the line is a pretty exciting young side of a defensive end group. And then obviously Cox and Hargraves are paid to be the big boys in the middle, and it's a stellar line. It really is. It should be good against the run, good to great, I would hope, because that's been a staple of theirs throughout this past decade. And then you just got to hope, you know, they do their job well enough that the secondary can thrive a little bit.
I mean, Bob, I mean, there's, and I, by the way, when I say top 10, if I wanted to get juicy, if I wanted to be.
You could probably make the case top five. It's close. They're probably right there.
I said top seven could easily be made.
Yeah, I think they're probably in that 5-6 range.
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. So there's a positive.
That is a positive. The D-line better get it done this year because they're getting old quick.
Yeah.
Unlike the offensive line where you have backups, multiple young backups there where I think the transition might be okay. And, Jamie, you said it yesterday. If Lane Johnson can stay healthy just like everybody else, he still might have 5-6 years left in him. Kelsey has, it seems, may have the replacement right behind him. Sayamalu, like him or hate him, whatever, is still young. That offensive line, not only are they good when healthy, they also have some pretty good backups. So that's solid. The defensive line has to, I think, get it done this year because in Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Hargrave, all those guys, Kerrigan, they're older. You know, the nice guys that you said. Barnett's still young. Ridgeway and Sweat are young. Those are young upcoming guys. But this is the year. This D-line has to really, really go this year. Fletcher Cox is going to prove this year whether he's on the downside of 30 or still okay, I believe. And we'll see how it all plays out.
By the way, a good Eagles source yesterday, an insider, listening to the show yesterday, and I didn't even see the text when it came in. I keep the phone over here. He said, Landon Dickerson is the center of the future.
Yeah.
He goes, just say it definitively. That's why he was picked. That's why he was drafted. That's why he's the
guy. But I think he could play left guard this year.
No, he can, sure.
Yeah.
He may find a way, but there's no, I said yesterday, I just assume he's the center of the future. And I make no doubt about it. He is the Eagles' center of the future.
Yeah, that was the talking point after the draft.
Which is good. Pat, you feeling good about those lines?
Why did you have to take this one?
Well, I took the easy one because it was.
Jerk. Yeah, no, I'm feeling good about the lines.
You have 2 hours to get
that's a good point. That's a really good point.
That's why, as I'm pointing to the YouTube audience,
I forgot it is your show.
So I took the easiest route.
Yeah, I guess.
I wanted to watch Dr. Oz.
I understand because, you know, he's got a lot of good insight there.
By the way, why was Dr. Oz doing a show on people being scammed?
No, stop. Why was Dr. Oz doing a show?
I like Dr. Oz.
That was fun.
Why was Dr. Oz? I love Dr. Oz.
Yeah, Dr. Oz is a good guy.
But Dr. Oz was doing a show yesterday on people being scammed by phone
by like organizations that like, you know, you think they're good, yeah, like, and then sit at their first baseman.
And I'm like, why is Dr. Oz doing that show? Just a strange thing. We're being scammed by the Phillies, right?
You took the easy one. You said it.
I did.
Their depth at offensive line actually excites me to the point, you know, where if you have an injury to a Lane Johnson who seems to get injured every year at this point, he's just banged up, that you're no longer at a point where you're throwing guys who have never played a meaningful snap before. It was the luxury of last year. But the defensive line, you know, as much depth you have in the offensive line, the defensive line doesn't really have a lot of depth, which worries me because, as Bob said, these guys are older And they are talented, but with, you know, age comes the injury factor
as
well.
How many snaps can you expect from 15 to 20?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, so you really need a guy like Josh Sweat to step up.
Yeah, you're...
Don't worry about that.
I'm not worried.
Jamie's putting it on the line.
Don't worry about sweat season coming.
All right, we had a lot of positivity. By the way, it's been nothing but sweat season. Today, they're warning that senior citizens should not be out in the heat until the weekend.
Jeez.
Like this morning, they're saying, if you're a senior citizen, like stay. It's gonna be, tomorrow is supposed to be, I guess, with the heat indices and the humidity and everything, is supposed to be one of the worst days of the entire summer.
Oh, cool.
Isn't that nice?
I used to like summer.
You have to mow the lawn or anything, Jamie?
No, I'm going
to
mow it today when I get home.
Get it done.
I got 2.5 weeks growth in the bag.
Larry and Glenn Olden joins us on the Fanatic. Larry, what's going on, brother?
Good morning.
Good morning to you, too.
You guys are great.
Thank you,
now on the head with Girardi and all that. I just had a quick question on the Phillies. Why did they bring Galvis up anyway? If he's not, he wasn't going to play. Why did they bring him up?
They traded for him and he's hurt. But well, he just got off the injury list
and he's just being brought back. So I mean, I agree. If he's activated, why isn't he playing? But
yeah,
I like Therese. I like Therese, man.
What they got? Therese is fine, but he can't hit.
Yeah. He's had some. Larry, you down with those Fatima people? Are you down there in Glen Olden area near the Our Lady of Fatima people?
No, I'm St. George's.
You're St. George's area. Okay.
Yeah. Briarcliff.
Hey, you're in Briarcliff. Good job, Larry.
Yeah.
Nice to hear from you, buddy. Gotta love that. Fatima kids.
Wait, what? I was going to say, what's your problem with
Fatima? No, there's no problem.
Because John
with
throws
them.
It out there. Oh, do you know the Fatima people?
Yeah,
they're a bad group of people.
The Fatima people, though, definitely had an attitude.
You don't want to mess with the hombres of Fatima.
You did not mess with the first of all, the Fatima skinny tie crew. They were the skinny tie crew.
Yeah.
If there was one parish that fed into O'Hara that had a bit of a toad, it was the Fatima.
It was the Fatimas.
Some great people from that parish.
The Fatima Report is brought to you by PropSwap. Football's back. Time to list your futures bets, your long shots on PropSwap, where the average PropSwap seller makes $500 a month listing and selling tickets. Go to PropSwap.com now.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. So, by the way, avoid the heat. So, Bob, be very careful, Mo.
Oh, I love it.
Be more very
disgusting.
I hate it too. Can't stand it. Oh, can't stand
it. Better.
By the way, we've had six heat waves, 3 days or more of 90.
Yeah.
Atlanta's had one. So I brought this crap with me.
Nah, it seems like a normal summer
terrible.
To me. I don't look at the humidity.
The humidity's getting worse.
It's the worst we've had in like forever. Up here.
Do you want to watch Adam?
I don't think it doesn't stink, but it doesn't seem all that odd to me. Oh, man. All right. Stephen A. Smith, star of General Hospital, was on the Mike Messinelli show yesterday, and he had some interesting things to say about the pursuit of Dame Lillard. We'll get to that next. It's the John Kincaid Show. We're here on The Fanatic. And with summer here and a few weeks left, you're getting out on the roads, or you're getting kids back to school, or you're getting back to your regular routine. I want Meineke to be able to maintain your car for you, and this is a great deal. Get their basic oil change for $24.95, and they're going to throw in a free tire rotation. That is awesome. You want the wear and tear on your tires to be even. But you bring your car to Meineke for all your regular service, like brake service and tires, suspension systems, and more. That air conditioner is still working overtime. If it's not blowing enough cold air on you, you can get a $20 off an air conditioner recharge. And if that check engine light is on, that means get to your local Meineke and have them tell you what it means for free. The best customer service, commitment, value comes to you from your Meineke dealer, and you're going to love them, and they do car care right. And if you're looking for a job right now, your local, independently owned and operated Meineke is now hiring. Visit Meineke.com/careers for more details, or call your local Meineke center today. Tell them Kincaid sent you in.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. Our perfect show just ended.
It did. It ended early this morning, though. Good thing is, though,
get it out of the way.
When it ends early, Pat, the way I would look at it is that like an Odubel Herrera fielding error. That way we get it done before the real, like, you know, giant crowd show up. And like, if they put dog poop, if you found dog poop on Main Street in Disney, if they pick it up in the first 10 minutes, then nobody saw it.
Okay.
People are just wandering in. This way I'm looking at it.
We'll go with that.
By the way, I've never done a perfect show myself. There has not been a day when I haven't screwed up. In my entire broadcast career, I don't think there's a day where I haven't forgotten to turn my mic on or said something I didn't mean, you know.
Cursed.
So I apologize. I have occasion.
That's on my LinkedIn. I got you
was
to curse
dumped
one day.
Once?
Yeah.
Pat, since the show
at
started?
At least once.
Twice.
Twice. And by the way, I would have to check with the historian. We have a historian at my old station that I think it happened twice. In 20 years.
And you work with me for 6 months and I bring it out of you.
8 months. Look, I mean, it seems longer. Stephen A. Smith laid it out yesterday on the Mike Missinelli show with Connor Thomas and Jennifer Scordo that Dame Lillard does not prefer Philadelphia. Listen.
You look at a guy like Damian Lillard. The Philadelphia 76ers should be doing everything they can to try and get him. Now, I happen to know he would have preferred to go to the Knicks if he were ever to leave Portland. But people have been talking to him because obviously the Knicks are stuck in their situation. And people have been talking to him and trying to convince him to rethink his thinking. In the end, what it comes down to is that, to me, Damian Lillard in Philadelphia would be spectacular.
I said it before, we've interviewed Dame multiple times on the Shaq podcast, and he talked about his love of New York 2 years ago and how New York is so intriguing to him and how he likes to spend time in New York and everything. I don't care where Damian Lillard wants to play because the Sixers have the best package to be able to get him. And Stephen A. laid that out there, too, that it's a great, the Sixers should do everything in their power to go get him. I was a little surprised that General Hospital Stephen A. Smith did point out, though, that it seems the most logical landing spot is Golden State. And that Golden State is a team that, I'm telling you this, if you take three first round picks or two first round picks I might scream. I think it's crappy, but Stephen A. was more talking about the lines of that Golden State may be the team that is the best fit and the one who is most interested because Portland is not pursuing a deal for Damian Lillard and Damian Lillard is not pursuing an exit from Portland. That may have to wait till the trade deadline.
Yeah, it's a practice that I always tell people when they propose trades to either me or us or whatever. Oh, send them here. This would be great for the Sixers. You have to look at both sides.
Yes.
You have to look at both sides. And the key person you have to look here is Dame Lillard. I don't think Portland's going to want to get back the most they can. There's no question about that. But there is going to be a hint of Portland that is going to want to do right by Dame Lillard. It was similar to when Charles Barkley asked out, although he asked out, and that was kind of a red mark on his career here. Philly still wanted to do him right because he did right by Philly. There's always going to be that. Allen Iverson, whoever it may be. When you're a star, when you've put that franchise on the map, like Dame Lillard pretty much has with Portland without having much success for years and years before he got there, they're going to want to do him right as well as get back from him. So what Stephen A. said about him maybe wanting New York more than anybody and Philly not really on his radar, that does go a long way.
And it is that he doesn't prefer coming to Philly.
This is nothing new, though. I mean, Devon heard the same thing over a month ago that it's New York and Philly, and New York is number one.
Yeah, but it's not. He doesn't prefer Philly. He does. It's not New York. It's not New York and Philly. He doesn't prefer coming to Philly.
Okay. I mean, Joel Embiid is the key to, like...
No. Jamie, we're not talking about...
Why would Portland make Golden State better? It's a what's going to happen here is this is going to be a complicated trade if it goes down. It's most likely going to be a three-team trade. Portland's going to want Dame out of the West. I mean, and look, Golden State has some intriguing young prospects and a bevy of picks they can give up. Portland doesn't want to make Golden State better and shut down the NBA because then it's Golden State versus Brooklyn and it's a lock. Lock it up.
I'm not saying, by the way, because somebody's, John Cheeseborough's misunderstanding it here too. So they said it's Golden State that has the interest in Ben Simmons.
Yes. Clutch Sports has interest in Golden State.
Stephen A is that they have an interest in him. They think he would be a good fit there.
Everybody would have an interest in Dame Lillard.
No! In Ben Simmons!
Yes, because Clutch Sports has been saying this for 3 months.
Golden State has the interest in Ben Simmons.
Yes!
They're not Dame Lillard in Portland and Golden State have no... There's no discussion.
I bet you if Dame Lillard is made available, Golden State has interest. That's my point. Everybody has interest.
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about...
And I just said that Clutch Sports has been pushing Golden State dating back to the pre-draft combine. They have interest.
Ben's interest is there.
Because he can work there.
And Golden State's interest is in Ben.
What don't you...
Saying the same exact things.
Yeah, Dame Lillard's not involved as far as this is concerned. They're going to get him out. We all know we're going to get him out of the West. If Portland moves him, they're getting him out of the West.
We're saying the same exact thing.
They're getting him out of the West. But he does not prefer Philly. This is now numerous people, from Shaq to Stephen A. Smith and others. He does not. Philly is not on Dame's list. So it's not like it's New York or Philly. It may be New York or Philly for Portland, deciding on a deal, but as Bob says,
New York doesn't have squat.
You want to do right by him.
Yeah, they have nothing to offer.
You want to do right by him. And what did Houston get for James Harden?
Yeah, it'll come into play doing right by him a little bit.
And that's bottom line, is that the big thing is there's a mythology that Dame has Philly on his list. Enough inside people out of the NBA.
That's great. I trust Devon.
He does not have Philly on his list.
That's great. He's over in the Olympics talking about playing with an athletic big man, and I trust Devon. If he's heard that Philly is on a short list of an acceptable place, he'll go. I'm not saying it's number one. I'm saying if he wants to win, going to New York is nonsensical.
Does he though?
Yes.
So then why would New York be on your list?
Well, let's look at it this way. Who's the best player Dame Lillard thinks of any team he's going to go to?
Outside of Golden State?
It's Dame Lillard.
Yeah.
Correct. Right? No, I'm serious
Dame
on this.
Dame wants to be the guy.
So he thinks he can win a championship. He just doesn't think that Portland has the right wherewithal to surround him with players. So he's going to look at teams that not only are pretty good now, but that might have good draft equity, money, whatever it may be.
And wait 3-4 years.
Yeah, now the big thing is the Sixers are the best team that could afford and give up the best package all of that. That's on a different scale if Dame doesn't want. So that's number one. That's number one, and who can give up what? Number one, though, in Dame's mind, apparently, is New York.
Yes.
So they might be two different scales, but like Jamie said, Devon said that Philly is also on a short list. So if you add Philly has more to give up, and they're on a short list, to just New York is where he ultimately wants to be, Philly might have a little bit of an advantage.
I love the fact that they have the best. There's no question they have the best deal. If you're talking about, you cut every team in the West out of the discussion. With Dame, the Sixers clearly have the best package to offer. But I wonder, when a guy is obsessed with being somewhere, he wants to be the guy.
I think most people want to be the guy. I also think that one of the reasons why he wants out of Portland is he's not winning. So while he wants to be the guy, I mean, what's more impressive for your legacy, winning or being in New York?
And Dame's a student of the NBA. He knows he's not doing this alone. It's impossible.
Like, I don't think there's a chance in hell that Dame Lillard, if he's even considering wanting out, because this is all hypothetical, but if Dame Lillard wants out and he's looking around and he goes, oh, Philly, no, not I want to be there.
I don't know that I don't want to be there. It's where I want to be. He's telling people where he's telling. Look, I'm not gonna.
One place.
I think that people like Stephen A. Smith and Shaq know, really have a good ear and are sitting there saying, okay, here is where he wants to be. I think he wants to be on the biggest stage. I think he wants to be in his music career. By the way, his music career in documented conversation is important to him as basketball.
We have great recording studios.
It's unfortunate that Philly has no music scene here.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, we got a great music scene, but
it's ridiculous.
He's thinking New York. I'm surprised he wouldn't say Atlanta.
Josh Harris
can be the best place to be for his music career.
Josh Harris can give him the helicopter. He can go back and forth.
The
helicopter.
Did he say helicopter?
He always does.
It's helicopter.
It's wrong, but it's cute.
Like the
helicopter.
Like the helicopter.
He can be up and back in 30 minutes.
That's what I thought. By the way, the official sportsbook partner of the Real Philly Sports Fan is Park Sportsbook on Twitter. You can get great content and links to podcasts and more. You got to be 21 if you got a gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I just want to be out of this building.
Where did helicopter come from?
Helicopter.
I've never
heard
that.
He's always said that, yeah.
I've never heard that one.
Yeah, helicopter.
The helicopter. Jerome in Elkins Park joins us on the Fanatic. Jerome, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, John. How you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Welcome back to Philadelphia.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Mm-hmm. For a number of times, and I don't know, it finally kind of hit me, because I feel as though this city, which I've been here all my life, almost 70 decades.
You're like, you're 700 years old.
Yes. Yeah, John.
That's
and still have you most sound, of my teeth in my head.
You sound fantastic, dude.
Well, I just wanted to get on an age-to-age basis with you guys. It's the fact that I think, look, we are some of the most passionate people it is. But I think that's one of our biggest drawbacks in that it tends to take and make us put blinders on. Damian Lillard has enough kibosh in which if he wanted a deal, he could have made his way out, whether it was Philly or whatever. He hasn't. And I think there's a reason for that. You know, that to him. So I don't get insulted about the fact if he doesn't want to come to Philly. I just think that we need to be able to say to themselves, and I think Daryl Morey is that thinking out of the type of box general manager, fortunately, with the Richardson trade, the Horford thing, in which he's not going to jump at the first opportunity. He put an outlandish request out, which we know Golden State wasn't going to jump at. And the fact that, you know, there is, in the Sixers type of thing, at least a deficiency as far as two players. I'm not talking like two stars. I'm talking about, look, I'm not going to go and say that I felt Atlanta was going to win. But I looked at a hungry young team, you know, with a dynamic point guard and the other players of Collins who wanted to get a contract and said, the fact that they beat us three times shouldn't be that big of a surprise.
I got to tell you, Jerome, I watched that franchise for 20 years. No one was more shocked than me. By the way, call back anytime. Awesome. He's 70? Guy sounds like he's 22.
70's the new 25.
He sounds like he's 22. Oh, my gosh. He's old enough to be Batman now because they have a 70-year-old Batman in the movie. I was floored that Atlanta could beat the Sixers. And the fact that Atlanta could beat the Sixers three times on their home court makes me throw up in my mouth. Because Atlanta barely can win three of four on their own home court.
Yeah.
Alone come to Philadelphia with the number one seed and do it.
Yeah.
And they were hungrier. And they were the hungrier team.
All due respect, I no way saw that coming.
No way.
No, and I don't think anybody really should have.
All right, Bears with Bob tonight. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, man. Yeah, down at the Live Casino and Hotel. Sure, we'll be down there. Me and Andrew will get there. We like to get there. Phillies are home tonight. So we will be there early, John.
Beat the crowds.
We'll be there before 5 o'clock. Come on down, say hi. We'll be hanging out, watching some games, and hit the airwaves. And then maybe hang out for a little bit afterwards, too.
By the way, if you're part of our YouTube community, or if you haven't been, or maybe you're driving to work in the morning, you've never been part of our YouTube community, Beers with Bob, part of our YouTube presence. So you can watch Beers with Bob on the YouTube channel, too.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Heavy Chevy's down there? Oh, yeah.
I have joined in on the YouTube chat on Beers with Bob, too, and maybe I'll stop by tonight. It's always a lot of fun. Jamie, you are getting very enamored with the youth movement at wide receiver for the Eagles.
Yeah, it's hard not to be.
I got
to
tell you this, the more, it's exciting.
It's
exciting.
It's really exciting. It looks like Quez Watkins is more or less penciled in as the third starter right now. So, you know, the pessimist in a lot of sports fans is going to look at it and say, well, where's the experience? The optimist in me goes, this has got to work out eventually, right? I mean, Devontae Smith was having Jets defenders in spin cycles yesterday up in Florham Park.
Love it.
I mean, he was even getting held and getting separation.
Jalen Reagor made another spectacular catch. I think he had two or three touchdowns from Jalen Hurts in the 11-on-11s. And Quez Watkins, unfortunately, left the field a little banged up. But he left the field banged up because he high-pointed a ball over a Jets defender and came down with it, landed on his back, you know, probably just got checked out. I'm sure he's fine. But there's some hands in this starting unit. There's some excitement. And eventually, they all can't be flops. So I'm looking at this very optimistically. I'm excited to watch these three kids play this year. I think they're going to bring a lot to the table.
I love the attitude that you're taking, though, because I think it's the proper one, Bob, is the idea that this is a team that is going to grow. There's going to be growing pains with this crew.
Sure.
But I want to see, I'm as enthused to see these young guys, who stays, who goes. Let's play. Sure. Let's play Survivor. Who are we voting off the island? Let's go. And so to me, it is. It's an exciting, interesting group.
And, okay, like Jamie said, Quez Watkins made an unbelievable catch yesterday and went down and stayed on the field for a little bit and got off. Okay, now my excitement goes to, besides Donta Smith and all, Travis Fulgham. Was it real? Were those five games real last year? The guy showed skill. You can talk about work ethic and practice and why it all happened or whatever.
It's Fulgham to God.
He did something last year that no other Eagles receiver could do, and that was catch passes in traffic. That was catch passes along a sideline. That was go up and get passes. So he's got something. Greg Ward. Like, you have a bunch of young guys after the guys that Jamie mentioned as your starters that also were exciting. So, yeah, this wide receiving core and the youth of it, I think, is one of the most fun things on this team.
It's a hungry room, yeah.
It is hungry.
The big one for me is Jalen Reagor, though. Because if he can show that he's better than what we got last year, that'll go a long way with this room in terms of, like, Devontae Smith's going to be the number one wide receiver. He's going to get the best cornerback. He's going to get double teamed. So you need other guys to get open, and Jalen Reagor's the guy that I'm looking at like, all right, you need to step up. So it's good to see him performing in practice and getting a little bit of a swagger and confidence back, which is what he said early in the season, early in training camp. But he's like the linchpin, pardon the pun, of that room to me. You know, he needs to put up a shut up and show that he's actually a first round, like he warranted a first round pick.
But a guy who used to work on the Sunday show on the network, on my network show, covers the Jets. He's a Jets reporter.
That's unfortunate.
So he texts me yesterday a series of seven texts, and
apparently it was a bloodbath up there.
Here's one. He said, "This is an absolute domination." Is one. Your Eagles look really, really good. ... against the Jets. The Eagles' defensive front could be a monster against inexperienced or subpar quarterbacks. By the way, there's a lot of subpar quarterbacks.
I was going to say, their schedule has a lot of those.
On their schedule. I know you complain about the Eagles' secondary to me, but this Eagles' secondary doesn't look bad. ... against the Jets.
Let's say, like, who are they going against?
Yeah, but he's like,
they got Corey Davis now.
He says it looks... He said it was a complete domination.
And Elijah Moore, a guy I liked coming out. So
I heard Tim McManus yesterday with Mike Missinelli, and Tim wasn't as over the top with it being a domination, but he said clearly the Eagles were the better team. Now, being better than the Jets is a small bar to get over.
Sure.
But I love the fact make Zach Wilson look like a young quarterback. Dominate the Jets' offensive line.
And some of the limited clips I saw of Devontae Smith, my God, we're going to love this kid. He's a different breed than what we're used to.
And on the Jalen Reagor front, Bob, I was told over and over again, as I would younger in my broadcast career, would constantly make quick judgments on wide receivers. I was told over and over, and I've learned my lesson. Wide receivers, it's year three many times before you actually see the baked cake.
Yeah.
Not year two even. So Jalen Reagor, I'm willing to see how this works out.
My biggest complaint about Eagles wide receivers over the years was that they weren't given, I shouldn't say the freedom, maybe the design to show their talents. Everything was a sit down. Everything was a comeback, whatever it was. There was no designs to get guys that were really good, in my opinion, to get guys open. Just in the small little smattering that we've seen of Devontae Smith with double moves off the line, he looks more like an NFL receiver than anyone I've seen here in a long, I shouldn't say NFL receiver, a legitimate breakout big playmaker receiver than anyone I've seen here since DeSean Jackson's first round here.
Did you hear who Sirianni compared him to?
Who?
Keenan Allen. You know who's Keenan Allen's best career year was under?
Yeah.
Nick Sirianni.
I'm hoping for...
It moves.
I'm hoping for more than Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen is a tremendous player.
He's quietly really good.
He is tremendous. Yeah. If we get better than Keenan Allen, I'm nude.
Okay. Oh, jeez. All right, let's not
keep it in your pants.
Let's not hope for that then. Okay, we got lots more.
I'm going to expose myself
with you.
It's been a spirited 6 a.m. hour. Lots of fireworks. So that just tells you there's so much more coming. So thanks for everybody that's streaming. Thanks for everybody watching on the YouTube channel and Twitch. We appreciate you. And we hope you're going to stick around all morning long. Take us with you all the time on the 97.5 The Fanatic app. In the next hour of the show, I'm glad this guy isn't trying to be popular. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. If your cooling bills have been outrageous this summer, we don't need the Scooby-Doo gang to come in and tell you what the problem is. It's the windows. It is your windows. Your windows are subpar. When you pull up to your house, can you look at your house and see the curb appeal? The house down the street has new windows. You see yours. It looks like like a haunted house. Get the windows changed now and start saving money on your energy bills, because guess what? Winter's going to come and you're going to be freezing again in your own house. How about this? Buy two windows, get two free. No money down, no payments, no interest for 24 months. So we're talking about Labor Day of 2023 before you're paying the bill for your new Window Nation windows. Go online today, go to windownation.com and review all the different colors and styles that you can use. You're going to love it. They're a great company with an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. Buy two windows, get two free. They're saving you. It's 50% off. And no money down, no payments, no interest for 24 months. Get in on the deal now. Call 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Thanks so much for making the John Kincaid Show part of your daily routine. We have a loyal listener who has tweeted me that he's enjoying the show this morning, watching on the YouTube channel on a plane to Chicago.
Wow. Technology is amazing, isn't it?
No, this is one of our loyal listeners who said, say loyal listener rather than my name. He tweeted at me. It's on my Twitter feed. So I'm not giving his name, so he's doing that. So loyal listener, thank you. Enjoy the YouTube channel on the plane.
What's Shaq doing in Chicago?
First of all, Pat, he'd never be up at 7 a.m. Not unless it's one of the days where he is forced to be up. Him at 7 a.m., he loves the idea that we're going to do the show at 3 a.m. out in Vegas. And hopefully he'll join us for a little bit of that, because that's when, you know, the vampires walk the earth.
They should be pouring milk on my balls.
Well, don't be doing that while we're there. That would not really be great for the show, I wouldn't think. Hey, our sportsbook app of choice, mine, is the Parx Casino Sportsbook app. You can download it at parxcasino.com/PA, and you can use the promo code Fanatic. So we appreciate that. And we love it when you check out the Parx Casino. I've not been up to play cards, and this weekend I will go up and play some cards up at the Parx Casino. So
nice.
Looking forward to that.
That's a good weekend right there.
Oh, well, when it's like 1,000 degrees, too.
It's going to break on Saturday.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, so Saturday and Sunday,
yeah. I think we get some rain, and then it breaks, and we should be okay for a few days.
All right, that sounds good, then. If you think that Howie Roseman being considered the least trustworthy GM is a headline or a damning story, I am going to tell you, I think you don't understand the job. It's not Howie Roseman's job to be popular among his peers. It's not his job to lay his cards and agenda on the table for opposing GMs. I think it's important to note when you read the story is no one's saying the guy lies to you. He said, but the guy makes you think he's doing one thing and then does another. Wow, that's exactly what I want my GM to do. And I'm certainly not Team Howie shake the pom-poms. He makes other general managers nervous when you read some of the comments. I love it because Howie Roseman's been making me nervous for years. So I'm glad that other people in other markets are also being made nervous by him.
I'm happy to take responsibility for all of that.
He is considered one of the best at his job at maneuvering a salary cap and doing the things that the business end of a general manager needs to do. Drafting players is certainly not one of them. But so many other aspects of his job, he does extremely well. So I'd wear the veiled critique of him being the least trustworthy, where they say, it's not like he lies to you. To me, I'd wear that as a badge of honor, because it sounds like a lot of sour grapes to me. Howie Roseman getting crushed yesterday, and people thinking it's like a bad thing that your general manager is leading people to believe one thing and then he does another. Bob, I'd say that's exactly what I want my general manager to do.
Not when it's 33 agents who were polled and are saying this. No, it's bad. It's not good.
Why do you think that?
Because these are the guys who represent the players, and if they don't trust their general manager, you're not going to do business with them. So, no, I've seen. I saw it firsthand. And it's so funny. You and I were talking about this before the show. Agents did not like Sam Hinkie. And it affected things not in a positive way. And it can go that way with that. Look, if this was other general managers that were polled on this, okay, fine. Well, I don't need you to be liked by your peers, like you said. But this is agents. This was 33 agents.
Nah, that's
not a good sign. Like, look, and not everything's going to be, you know, roses and ice cream and all that stuff when it comes to agent-general manager relationships. But when he's voted the least liked or the least trusted by agents, no, that's not something you walk around like peacocking about.
Okay, now what I would say is that the one reference to them, one story coming off of it, is they asked a general manager and said a lie, and the agents that were polled didn't say he's a liar. They say that he leads you to believe he's going to do one thing and then does another.
Why would Zach Ertz's agent talk to The Athletic?
Ding, 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 ding. That's what I'm thinking. It sounds like sour grapes. And more importantly, the Eagles have always been a destination that there's never been players that go, man, I don't want to play for the Eagles
organization. Yeah, I'd like to hear from Brandon Graham's agent and Fletcher Cox's agent and Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks and all these guys that get locked up. I mean, Howie
locks players up early, too.
Yeah, which is, I believe, a good philosophy. Joe Banner kind of started that, lock them up before the market value kind of dictates what they're worth. More often than not, it works out for them. And if I'm an agent, I'm probably, in hindsight, being 20-20, 2 years later, going, damn it, Howie got me again. So, I mean, there's some bitterness that comes out of agents with the Eagles, I'm sure. They control their money. And look, I know they're over and this and that. It's a soft cap. It's a fake number that Howie has shown he can work around every single year. They were, what, $42 million over the cap heading into this offseason and somehow ended up under. And, you know, look, they were limited in the moves they could make, but he manages money really well for the most part, and I'm sure agents don't like that a little bit.
Pat, there was a piece in the a couple years ago from Bleacher Report that did like a five-year study and said that Eagles players were among the most in the NFL that had left money on the table by signing deals early. Howie has a great strategy, and maybe agents don't like that. You know, maybe they don't like the fact that he locks these players down because it means less money for them.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Tell your client not to sign.
Agents don't rarely prefer you to sign early.
Sure.
And rarely, they want you on the auction block because they feel there's money. When you sign with your team and you sign early, You've taken money off the table,
yeah,
and you've taken potential bidding wars off the table, which is what they live for.
Well, like, take Carson Wentz, for example. Let's assume he worked out here and he's a franchise quarterback and, you know, 28 teams around the league are jealous of him. His market value would have been severely underpaid because they locked him up before Goff and Mahomes and all these guys and Dak and all these guys that got their money.
And that's smart.
Yeah. Yeah, as a fan of the team, I appreciate it. I'm not the don't take the deal then, dummy. You know, if you know your player is worth more in a year or so, it's the NFL and you want your guaranteed money. I understand that, but you got to know his reputation at this point, don't you?
We didn't discuss the story beforehand, but we did discuss agents, Bob, and as we get back to that. And I asked you, because I was fascinated, is how did you deal with agents? How did you deal with agents as a beat writer or a columnist? Because agents, did you always feel that they wanted to use you? Did you, like, here, I want to get my point of view out, so I'm going to try to go to Bob and see if he'll carry the water for me? Did you feel like they were trying to use you?
At times, but not always, no. I mean, you try to build relationships with people through the years, built on trust, built on honesty in your writing, in the way you go about asking questions and all. So was there times that they would call to vent or maybe let me know of one side was going one way? Sure. And I told you a story about an agent calling me and screaming and hollering about his dissatisfaction over something. And at the end of the conversation, I say, okay, let me check it out. Let me talk to the person that you're complaining about.
Did it get verified, or do you think that...
So you go there, and there's going to be two sides to the story. But the thing is, when you write a story, and I say that agent such and such says this, the team says that, I'm not saying who's lying or who's not lying. People would email me and say, well, you know he's lying. Could be. All I said was what
you,
he said.
You presented.
As a beat writer, my job wasn't to give my opinion. It was to put out there the facts that were there. So, yeah, sometimes do agents want to get their, as we all know so well, do they want to get their points out there about their clients to shed them in a good light or to make whatever team they're trying to bargain with in a bad light? Of course. You have to get both sides of the story. The reason I don't love that agents are coming out and saying this about Howie the least trusted, I hear what you guys are saying. He's done good things with locking up players early and stuff like that. I don't know if there's players throughout the league, veterans throughout the league, that the Eagles could have gotten that they didn't get because of Howie.
I can't think of... I tried.
Well, I don't
up,
know. I
tried
assume
to come
there
up
is.
With a list of players that the Eagles in free agency were like, I'd love to get this guy. That didn't consider the Eagles or talk to the Eagles or otherwise.
No, I mean, Alshon Jeffrey was the guy you looked at as a free agent when there's no way they can get him. They only have like $8 or $10 million, and they got him on a 1 year $10 million deal with, I think, a handshake, wink, wink down the line that we'll take care of you. And sure enough, they got him, and he was here 4 years, and it, you know, resulted in a Super Bowl.
All this positivity, Pat, on Howie, it doesn't clear the fact that we're not pleased with his drafting.
No, that's but none of this is
that's
new.
A different issue.
None of this is new. I mean, when you talk about Howie Roseman being, quote, one of the best in the league, it's always at managing the cap. And one of the ways you manage the cap is giving out contracts and doling them out and picking and choosing who gets what. And yeah, it's the talent evaluation that we have a problem with because he doesn't stay in his lane. He thinks he's a talent evaluator. But in terms of, you know, signing guys early and whatnot, it's smart. And these agents can get mad all they want. But I don't know a lot of players, you know, who usually have very high opinions of themselves, who don't look at it and go, oh, well, I'll get mine down the line. You know what I mean? So usually I feel like it's the team going to the agent, and the agent might be mad, but they have to approach the player and say, yeah, this probably is the best deal. You might as well cash in now because you never know what can happen. You never know when that injury is going to take place. I feel like most of these athletes, they come into the league and they think, I'm going to be a millionaire 10 times over. I'm going to hit free agency. I'm going to cash in. And it's the agent who has to convince them, no, you want to take the bird in the hand because it's worth two in the bush.
There you go. By the way, Adam Schefter joins us at 12 minutes or 10 minutes.
We can ask him.
My name's Adam.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think people will always think that Adam is going to find a way to be positive on Howie. And I can tell you this. I know from speaking in NFL circles that Howie's more respected among his general manager peers than he is in this market.
Howie Roseman doesn't know what he's doing.
Because of his, but again, not because of drafting. Because of understanding. And by the way, the whole locking up, people would want to scoff at it. Locking up your own players, there's an art to it.
Yeah.
As far as making sure you don't you put yourself in salary cap hell. And he got more players to take less early.
Yeah. Are the Eagles in salary cap hell?
No.
Weren't they?
He continually...
I mean, this is the worst shape they've been in the last...
This is the worst they've been, yes.
But yeah. In a year from now, it's going to be a completely...
Yes.
They'll be fine.
Guess what, Bob? In March of 2022, they're not. They're not. And in April of 2023...
It's the Carson Wentz thing that killed you.
It's
the biggest dead cap in the NFL.
The only reason they're in any kind of cap hell is because of Carson Wentz.
Absolutely.
And I don't believe... I did not hear anyone when he signed Carson to the deal saying, terrible, what are you thinking? This is stupid. So everybody can have 20/20 hindsight now, but I'll call you absolute fraud.
Oh, I said on the airwaves here, it's a great deal because when Patrick Mahomes signs, it's going to look like jump change.
I thought it was a great deal. So anybody who's now saying, well, they're in cap hell because of the Carson Wentz deal, I want to hear the person who stood up that day and said, bad deal, man.
That's Wentz's fault, not Howie's fault.
Bad deal. Totally.
Boy, hey, well, he might have had a contributing here.
It is amazing.
No, I know. It does sound like it's going over. I mean, Howie deserves slight blame for Howie.
Draft. Agents don't like him.
I think he sucks.
You know, he's locked up some guys and stuff like that. I don't know.
Contract-wise, I never worry.
You guys alluded to that players, you know, you never hear of a player that didn't want to come here. I don't know. I don't know about that because rarely do I hear of any player that says they don't want to go anywhere because you're not cutting ties. As a player, as an agent, you never want to cut ties on a team and say, no, we don't want to go there. I mean, it's in my head, like, did Jadeveon Clowney just get a ton of money somewhere else instead of coming here? Because I thought he was wanted here, but he never came here. That's just one recently. I don't know. If agents say they don't like you, that's not a good thing in any way, shape, or form.
Well, let's get positive then on the Eagles with our own Bob Cooney, because this is sort of the theme today. We're trying to find a positive angle on it. Every one of us, each hour, bringing something. I talked about the lines of scrimmage, which I consider to be, I can even push top seven. I said top 10. I think they're more like top seven. So, Bob, get positive on the Eagles. Give somebody a ray of hope that maybe's been beaten down with the negativity.
There's nothing bad about this season. All right, I'll go. Jamie, I'll address you first. Barring injury, major injuries, whatever. There's nothing bad about this season that would shock me and say to me this organization has taken a major step backwards. Let's start with the quarterback position. As I said, this is the year, and we all agreed, that you look at him. And is the hope that he shows he's the franchise quarterback? Of course. That's what everybody wants every year out of whatever quarterback you have. But if it isn't the case, are we really shocked? Because he was a second-round pick. He was picked to be a backup to the franchise quarterback. So to thrust him into that position, maybe it won't work. And if it doesn't, part of you had to expect it. And now you have draft picks, if he's not good, that can supplement that pick. So that's okay. I talked about this a little bit yesterday. Your running back room, if Miles Sanders, Jamie and I think we're on board that he was going to be better this year. John, maybe rightfully so. You were more hesitant?
Yeah, more hesitant.
You have a good running back room. And this kid Gainwell might be all right. And Jordan Howard's only 26 years old. And they say he looks better than he has in a long time. Jordan Howard was a decent running back. You may have guys that can... Miles Sanders, if he's a second round flop, would be horrible. But... you do have the wherewithal to replace that. We talked about the wide receiver core. All of the things offensively, if somebody goes down in the wide receiver core, say if a Devontae Smith gets a high ankle sprain and is out for 3 weeks or so, okay, let's watch the emergence of a Quez Watkins. Let's see what a Jalen Reagor's all about in his second year. Like, it's just, it has to be a positive attitude going in because you're almost expecting negative. It's only positive that can come out of it. And I think that's a good thing. The offensive line, as I addressed earlier, it's a veteran group. If they stay healthy, wow, that's great. You still have a Landon Dickerson waiting in the wings. You still have other guys, Herbig and other guys that had time last year that got better at it. Now you go to the defensive side of the ball. It's kind of I don't know what you have. You have two safeties that we don't really know who they are. You have some cornerbacks. Well, after Darius Slay, we don't know what Nelson is. We've never really seen him. Linebackers, what do you expect out of them? Nothing. If you get something, great, but you don't really expect much. So it's basically just a year of going in expecting nothing great, but only thing that can come out of it is good thoughts because you're not expecting anything in the first place.
I like that. I like that. That is the truth. Because it honestly is. It's how I'm looking at it, Jamie. That's how I'm going into the season. I'm going into this as... I'm looking for all of the silver lining great stories because I'm not expecting anything.
I know. You know what I mean? I'm happy.
It's so Philadelphia that the bar's so low, any improvement is better. You know what I mean? Like,
not with the Eagles. We haven't dealt with this in 22 years.
Not with the Eagles, but the Phillies, it's like, Freddie Galvis. Well, it's better than...
It's a positive story.
I know, but it's like...
positive here. It's 22 years since we've gone into a season.
But it's a low bar.
With these kind of expectations.
Oh, I disagree. Yeah, I don't think it's been 22 years. I think it's been... well, when was 2016? I did the math. Five?
It's been 22 years since the Eagles went into a season where they were predicted to lose, to their over-under was this bit.
Oh, I don't care about predictions. I care about how I feel about the season. And I had the same expectations this season that I did in 2016.
Really?
Developmental year? Yeah, it's a developmental year. You're not expecting them to really win and compete for anything. And you're just hoping for progress and to see progression. And that was coming out of the Chip Kelly era.
I didn't feel that way until I saw Carson Wentz take over the job. When they traded Sam Bradford and gave the job to Carson Wentz, I didn't. Like, that's when I changed my opinion on that season.
For me, I mean,
because I expected them to be a 500 team with Sam Bradford.
I see. I would look at it as, and obviously,
and they
we
finished 7-9 with Carson Wentz.
Yeah, we differ on this, but I looked at it as, when does Carson Wentz take over the job?
So did I. No, like, I did too.
Because of that, it was looking at it as a developmental, no expectation year, because I figured there would be a quarterback change, and with that would come.
They weren't predicted to be last that year.
But I also expected them to trade Sam Bradford.
At some point, so did I. I didn't expect it to happen in
August. I mean, it happened in August, a week before the season. Yeah,
yeah. It was late. It was late. I remember it was where I was. Yeah.
Oh, it was.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah. That's right. Yes.
Oh,
is it a Sunday morning?
Yeah, because I was producing and Jeff Mosher was on and he texted a source and said, "Hey, any surprise cuts or any surprise moves today?" And the source said, "Yeah, big one." And an hour later, the news broke.
Well, I love that.
Trade in the NFL this morning. Adam's up early.
Anything good?
Sony Michel getting traded from the Patriots to the Rams for two future firsts.
Two future firsts?
In exchange for two, late round conditional picks. I was like, future firsts.
What a difference that
is. Yeah.
And I love
two future firsts to conditional picks.
They've lost three running
backs. Yeah, Darrell Henderson just went down.
Top four, right?
Yeah.
And the Rams, they need that. Is Matthew Stafford needs running backs.
Oh, yeah.
I was surprised if they wouldn't have been. I think they're stalking the Eagles running back room, too.
Well, there's nobody to be had, so go away. They can have Kerryon Johnson if they want. He's gone.
I don't think that they're. Now, remember, if they go Kerryon Johnson, that Matt Stafford's the quarterback in LA.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's going to be telling Les Snead, the general manager, to go get me Kerryon Johnson.
The Rams are active, aren't they? Yeah, they are.
Snead
is a mover and a shaker.
He's awesome. He's a great guy, but I can tell you this, is that he's a guy who does not value
draft picks.
He thinks that with the cap continually exploding,
it's a fake cap.
You can go and you can buy talent where you need it. And the Rams have had a nice run of success. I said, whether they got to one Super Bowl, they got to, you know, they've been competing.
Yeah.
But getting over the top, he thought Stafford was the guy to get him over the top.
They'll be better.
With a healthy running back room?
Sure.
I think Matt Stafford has a lot of pressure on him, though. Because you're the guy who wanted out of Detroit. You want out somewhere, you know, surround me with talent, everything. He's got a fantastic defense.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm anxious to see him out there. Because I always thought he was a guy that was kind of under a black cloud in Detroit.
Well, He sort of portrayed himself that way.
Yeah.
And guess what? You better perform.
We'll see, yeah.
You better go to the bright lights of L.A. and you better be a winner. You better not be coughing up games. You better not be making late game interceptions or anything like that. So he got his opportunity to leave, and he took it. Which
Sony Michel scored the only touchdown in the Pats-Rams Super Bowl.
How about that?
He should have won MVP that year.
It was such a terrible
That was a bad game.
Yeah, he could have been. He was right there.
He should have won MVP for that Super Bowl.
He was right there. Who got it? Gronk got it?
No, Julian Edelman, because Romo wouldn't shut up about him.
Was it Julian Edelman?
No,
Gronk had the big catch, right?
Yeah, it was Julian Edelman.
Oh,
he just didn't shut up the entire Super Bowl.
You don't like Tony Romo?
No, I'm one of the few that doesn't. No, I don't like the Miss Cleo guessing game.
Okay, and I understand that. I understand where you're coming from. All right, coming up, there was a shocking shutdown yesterday that makes me wonder, what's the future like for this industry? We'll get to it next. It's the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. I want you to today pick up your device and go get the Parks Sportsbook app on your phone, because there is a pennant race, whether you believe it or not. 4.5 games is a pennant race. You can be watching the Phillies every single night, and you can be wagering on them. You can be making moves on NFL futures bets, because this is the perfect time to make them. Right now, you've got other things going for you. How about the Eagles? A 4-point underdog versus the Jets. If you are interested in preseason football, you can get in on that right now. Right now, the San Francisco Giants are an underdog tonight against the Mets. That has to be a misprint. Jump in now and get it on the Parks Sportsbook app. By the way, the Phillies, favorites tonight with Zach Wheeler. Will a real Zach Wheeler be back? Get a risk-free bet up to $500. Go to parkscasino.com/PA. Use promo code Fanatic for that $500 risk-free bet. See the website for details. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. There is still room for you and a friend if you want to join us on the Vegas trip to watch the birds in October. We're talking parties, tailgates, magic show with John Dorenbos, and more. Go to phillysportstrips.com. And if you are already flying out yourself, so you've got your own airfare, your own hotel set up, you can still find limited space to be able to attend our tailgate kegs and eggs party the morning of the game, poolside. It's going to be awesome. DJ, great food, open bar, and more. Or John Dorenbos's private magic show. We got limited seats for those for people that are not part of our traveling party. So you've got to get quickly to phillysportstrips.com if you want to grab them up, because I will stop talking about them when they are completely gone. So you got a limited number of opportunities to be able to get in that. Love our YouTube folks. Today's one of those days where I just have to, though, shrink the window. I tried to read during the break. At what point did we say Howie is like that? Howie now is like, we're now Team Howie.
We just
in the last conversation
talked about one faction of his job and him being good at that faction. I had to
shrink the window. Now people are shaking the pom poms for Howie.
No, I said
now
he should have been fired last year.
I'm like, oh my gosh.
I loathe the man.
Oh my gosh. It just is. There's days where you just got to just say, hey, have a great day. Hey, so word breaks. Disney is closing all of its Disney stores nationwide. Everywhere. Most are located in malls. So I thought to myself, do you still go to malls? I rarely find myself ever going to a mall. It's not that I don't like them. It's just that I don't tend to shop that way. If I go to a mall, I enter a particular store from the outside, go in that store, and then come out right to the parking lot, and I don't really tend to walk around a mall. But I'm also not a huge online shopper. I'm thinking, what are we going to do with all these malls? Because major businesses are flocking away from malls. What are we going to do with those spaces now? I mean, it's giant real estate.
Yeah.
And it seems like the move away is to not do that. I'm not a huge online shopper. I want to try on clothes. Like, I want to see clothes, feel the fabrics. I'm not like, unless I already know, I've got a pair of Under Armour sneakers and I love them and I know my size from the sneakers that I have, I'll just order them.
Yeah. I'm not, believe it or not, John, I'm not a big shopping guy for myself.
I wouldn't think you were.
No, how about that?
Are you a Christmas Eve shopper, by the way? Because we are 4 months to Christmas.
Oh, Jenna and I go out every Christmas Eve, yeah, and do our shopping. I love it. Yeah.
I hate it.
Well, it used to be a tradition with my friends. Me and my boys would get together. We'd go to the mall, split up, and put a time frame on, and there was a bar in the mall, and then we'd meet back at the bar. So that was our thing.
There was a bar? Oh, wait a minute. In a restaurant?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There was a Houlihan.
I was going to say. Well,
so, now that, you know, I have kids and all, my daughter and I go out. We've been doing it for years. We go out on Christmas Eve. Now I'll have a bulk of shopping done.
Okay.
But, we'll go out Christmas Eve, and we'll get the rest of it done, and fight the crowds and do whatever, and that's the fun stuff. But malls, yeah, it's tough because I live near three malls, and to see, well, one is still thriving, but to see the deterioration of two of them, where there's just so much open, empty space.
My gosh.
It's a shame. And it's because back in the day, like walking the malls, and Jamie, you'll know this too.
Jamie,
like,
didn't
on
you
a
work
Friday
there?
Night, walking the malls with your friends and stuff, that was cool.
Yeah. I worked at a mall. Yeah.
You did. You worked at a mall.
I worked at Abercrombie and Fitch.
Jamie with his shirt off at the front door.
No, God, no. I was mostly working in the stock room. I was out on
so
the floor
they hid
some.
You? They hid you in the back?
No, I was on the floor some, but I preferred the back.
What about
I
the
didn't
beefy?
Have to deal with people.
What about yeah. the beefy man section? There are a lot of women that, yeah. And young girls that want the beefier guy.
Well, Abercrombie is not really that's not them.
They don't have any larges either.
I'm a 95% online shopper.
That's crazy.
I don't do much. I even had a service that would, because my wardrobe, I don't know.
Fat, right.
I just like being comfortable. So I had a company that would send me stuff, and they got to know my sizes and my style and what I liked, and they
that
would just.
Sounds expensive.
It wasn't really. It was pretty much. No? See, that's the thing. It's convenient, and it's not more that much more expensive, and it's getting styled for me, and it was just showing up at my door. If I didn't like it, it got sent back. I never got charged. I sent back probably 80% of the stuff. It was great because I'm an idiot when it comes to clothes shopping and stuff like that.
Pat, you go to the mall?
I just can't get over how Jamie has a personal tailor.
They're very affordable.
Yeah, I bet they are, and I'm sure there's a coupon.
I think Connor wears those. Connor has one of those.
Told me that before. I love going to malls.
I love how the rich people live.
I got turned down for so many phone numbers back in the day at malls, just as Jane, as Bob
said. Where
would
you hit? The food court?
I was in Oxford
Where
Valley Mall.
Oh, are you talking like the actual mall?
Free bourbon chicken sample.
When you're trying to get phone numbers.
Oh, any store. Payless was a good one.
The Wall?
There are always women in Payless.
So you're shot.
A lot of divorcees in Payless.
Really?
Yeah, that's a good spot. Got turned down, though, because there's a lot of married women in Payless, too, and I always found those ones. The AT&T store is a good one.
The AT&T store.
Annie Ann's, you can't go wrong. Anyway, so, I'm a big mall guy. I went there last week. I went to the King of Prussia Mall. I went to the Dick's Sporting Goods in the King of Prussia Mall.
See, now,
because I needed tees for our golf outing.
By the way, I love that Dick's Sporting
shorts.
Goods in King of Prussia. Love it. I pull up outside, walk into Dick's Sporting Goods. They have a great golf section there. At King of Prussia, and then I walk out to the parking lot. Like I don't.
So you don't actually go to the mall.
So I am going to the mall, but I'm not going to the mall. Or if I go to Nordstrom, they have a good Nordstrom up there.
Well, then that counts.
Walk into Nordstrom. Yeah, but I walk into Nordstrom, and then I walk out of Nordstrom. By the way, there's not an S at the end of Nordstrom. I walk in and I walk out. I don't go to the. I don't like walk the mall, and I used to.
I don't mind
love it. Used to love it. I'm just shocked at the amount of people. That all the shopping that goes on online.
It arrives at my door and I don't have to do anything.
Like, I can't imagine. I don't like food shopping
at
all.
That's wrong, though. Sorry, go ahead.
But going food shopping, seeing the people pull up in their food shopping and they're getting lettuce and produce and stuff like that brought out to them just in a parking spot in their car, and they're sitting alone in their car with a mask on, and they pop their trunk.
Yeah.
People put in them going, you didn't pick your own produce.
Yeah, you like you to squeeze your tomatoes. I know. You're
I like
the type.
A good day. I like
yeah,
a,
I know.
Yeah,
you're
I
nice.
Like to hold the cucumber, Bobby.
I don't trust somebody you can buy, if I'm going and buying cornflakes and Jif peanut butter or whatever, that's fine. But I don't want somebody picking produce for me.
You don't want somebody touching your melons.
Mealy grapes.
Yeah.
I don't want someone juggling my grapes.
Nah, you can't have that. Yeah, I don't cringe at ordering things. I'm not, you know, like the old time, you order stuff. But it's part of what scares me is that kids now don't get up and go out and do something. It's just, let me sit by myself on my computer so that someone will deliver to me and I'll go grab it and I'll go sit in my room and I'll open it and then I'll have what I got. And, you know, it's the whole social activity of everything that is sorely missing in society now that does worry me.
Pat, you're a cinematographer. You love this stuff. You love the cinema. There's a movie called WALL-E.
Yeah, it's ahead of its time.
You remember
time.
That?
Oh, yeah. I wasn't a huge fan
of it. Go watch WALL-E and look at life in 2021.
Yeah, it's scary.
The characters, there's a huge obesity problem with the children. They don't want to get up off the couch to do anything. The young people are all headfirst in devices. That was ahead of its time.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the movie, but the message.
I didn't like it because it was a roach.
I mean, yeah, you're right. It's another one is it's a book, but and then they made a movie of it, Ready Player One, which is set in a futuristic.
but it's similar where right. everything is delivered and he even gets pizza delivered and he never has to interact with anybody. And I don't like that. I like seeing people.
There you go.
Yeah, I see you
like
guys every
people.
Day.
Hey, nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, and you only pay for what you need. Beers with Bob tonight. See, now, Beers with Bob, I could have a beer, and I could sit on my couch and watch Beers with Bob tonight on our YouTube channel.
That's what we encourage.
Or you can go on down to Live Casino and go and hang out.
Or come on down. Yeah, enjoy we're right it. There. Right as you walk in, Andrew and I are all set up there, and as I said, with a Phillies game there tonight, Andrew and I get there early to beat the crowd, so we'll both be there between 4:30 and 5. Come on over. We're watching games. We're looking at different lines that are being posted, and then we'll go and do the show, and we might hang out a little bit afterwards also.
Having the time of his life.
Every day.
Now on the linchpin, we get to see when does Jamie think that Howie needs to pull the trigger?
This is the linchpin.
We were just talking about this in a different context.
Yeah, and I sent this yesterday, so funny that came up. How many games do you need to see Jordan Mailata before you lock him up in season? Now, this is an Eagles MO that if Jordan Mailata has a stellar season and gets to the open market next year, he's probably looking at top 10 left tackle money, which is big coin. If you get him early in the season, you might be able to save yourself some money. But he's only played on tape, what, maybe 16 games?
That seems a lot more to me.
Yeah,
I
think that's more.
I was going to say a handful.
No, I'm saying I think 16 games is too many.
Yeah, I think it's too many. I'm thinking more like 12, 11.
Is that few?
Yeah, nine
it's not a full season at its most. So how many games do you need to see to feel confident locking him up long term for decent coin this year? Because I'm only at like 4 or 5.
Oh, wow. Whoa. You're pulling the trigger 4 or 5?
Yeah.
So we're not even in mid-October. You're ready to go.
Yeah.
I got to tell you what.
Makes me nervous.
Here comes the idiot in me.
Yeah.
Before game one.
Bobby.
I'm not kidding.
Bob.
I'm not kidding.
That's not you. This isn't you,
it's
though.
It's not.
Bobby.
I'll tell you what.
In the limited things that we've seen, watching that monster of a man on that left
he's
side.
He's only started 10 games.
And
by
hearing,
the way.
I said 11. There you go.
He's played.
And hearing the praise that he gets and the improvement he's made, having never played football before.
Yes.
And like I said, it's only highlights. And it's not highlights. It's action that we watch. I am. I'm locking him up.
Wow.
I'm locking him up.
Bob, big balls, Bobby.
Well, for two reasons. The
it's
business.
Not you, though.
It's not.
This is a hot take alert.
But it's the business aspect of it also.
You can save big money.
In that, like, look, Jordan, we'll lock you up now. You're kind of sight unseen, but that's how much confidence we have in you. If you don't perform well this year, you're not getting a big contract, big boy, from anybody else. Sign with us. Let's let you grow at the pace you've grown.
Save money on the table.
I would, honest to God. I would make that would be my boldest move that I would make before this season starts.
Wow, Pat.
I'm gonna do the
This is odd for Bob to be this guy.
It is.
You know what? New year, new Bob, and I love it.
Thank you, Pat.
But I'm gonna do the Price is Right $1. I'd lock him up before the end of this segment.
You would really, you're going to up Bob on this. You're doing $1.
Okay. Uh-huh.
You've just done it.
And you thought I was aggressive at 4 or 5 games. Look at these two.
So I'm absolutely floored because I thought for sure when I saw the topic, and we don't talk about it before the show, I thought Jamie would be the first one to go. I thought Pat would be the second most aggressive. I thought I'd be third, and I think Bob would be fourth. I really did. Just in my head.
Bob just flipped it on your head.
We're looking at the topics and we're researching and we're just so we're prepared for it. And I'm going, okay, Bob's going to be the one who says, I need, let cool your jets.
Yeah, play a full season.
Shocks me. Because I mean, it's unbelievable. But it does make sense.
He's only started how many games, Jim?
10.
Okay.
I think he's played more in some spot situations here and there.
But because of the fact he's only started 10 games, even if he doesn't work out, even if you signed him before the season starts and for whatever reason, this is what you get, he plateaus. He's not going to be that expensive because he's only started 10 games. So the deal you're giving him isn't going to be top left tackle money.
Oh,
it's,
not even
it's
close.
It's going to be affordable to the point where, you know, the cost and the savings is going to be there if this is what he is, if he plateaus.
Exactly. And the reasoning I'm doing this, as I said, the business move first. but also the guy never played football before, and the amount of growth that he's shown to be a starting left tackle in the NFL after 3 years of playing football, and the way people talk about him, and I'm talking people of the likes that have played in that position in the NFL, people that are coaching him currently. Look, I know it's you're giving him a contract on maybe potential, which right. is my least favorite word in all the sports. But I am taking that shot. I'm doing
if he's got an agent that's got some, if him and his agent have some, you know, steel ones, they might say, let's gamble on you.
Because if he
puts 16 games together and then has 10 from last year and he looks that good, he's in for a massive payday.
Here's what history would tell me. The guy who's drafted third day draftee or unrestricted free agent, they are the perfect player to approach with Bob's deal and get them at a great price.
Yeah,
because they never got paid.
But
so you give them upfront money.
If they want to bet on themselves.
There's very few gamblers. There's very few. I believe we're going to see it.
But if I'm Jordan Mailata and I'm hearing the feedback I'm hearing and I feel great, I might want to gamble on myself. Because it's not like it's the difference between $2 million and $5 million. This is a difference of like potentially $40 million. It's a premier paid position in the league. That's why I might gamble.
But he got the job because of injuries.
Correct.
So he might look at it like, you know, the guy at right tackle has been banged up how many times? And the guy that was supposed to be the left tackle was out for the season, and now he's on the trade block, so maybe I should cash in now.
I can't think of guys just off the top of my head that were unrestricted free agents or late-round draft picks who were like, you know what? I'm gambling for the Willy Wonka golden ticket. That's what I'm going to do. I think Howie's going to get him right where he wants him, hook him, and pull him in.
And I'll
be damn glad when he does, by the way.
How old is Mailata now? 24.
I was just going to say 23.
So, yeah, you can. I think he just turned 24 not long ago. You can lock him up for 3-4 years with the knowledge of saying to him, look how we've treated left tackles in our most recent history. They had Trey Thomas there for 12 years and then transitioned into Jason Peters, who stayed there for 8 or 9 years. Look, you're that next guy. Sign this 3-4 year contract now, good money, and then after that, we'll pay you a boatload to stay here.
Has any organization been better, and we appreciate it there, has any organization been better than the Eagles with that kind of transition?
Well, yeah, Winston Justice there for a little bit, too.
Oh, God.
How about Pittsburgh?
He got a similar deal.
The Sunday night game against the Giants in the rain.
It was the same day the Phillies clinched the NL East in 2007.
Was one of the most horrifying games I can ever remember sitting through. And I was with an Eagles club of expatriates down south. And that was one of the most disgusting nights of watching football.
But he turned
7? He gave up 7 sacks?
I think he single-handedly put OC Umunyura in the Pro Bowl. But if you remember, he actually turned his career around. Like he got a second deal with the Eagles because of Juan Castillo. Juan Castillo helped him out a lot. He ended up becoming a serviceable tackle in the league.
The top tackles in the league are making $23 million per year.
So how much do you think Mailata will get?
Depends 6. When he signs.
So I would, yeah.
Like
I
if
would,
you signed him right now.
Oh, you could probably get him for
6-7.
Yeah. 3 for $20.
I'd take it.
Something like that. If I'm his agent, I look at that and I go, Jordan.
Really?
That's a huge chance. But if he played at a near all-pro level, he could easily get $16, $17 million
a year. First of all, you're gambling that he's going to be. You even admitted yesterday, it's true, that he's probably down like 9th or 10th most likely to be the top of his game position.
Well, yeah, the NFC has the best tackles in the game.
And so, I mean, I think it's a big gamble.
It's a gamble worth taking for some.
I will say with 100% certainty, 100%, not 99%, that if the Eagles get it, say that they're trying to sign him, he will never gamble like that. He will never, ever gamble on himself like
that.
Say, I'm waiting until the end of the year. You got it. He'll take the money and he'll run.
That's a 3-year deal.
Make smart.
The deal ends when he's 27.
And then he'll do exactly what Howie was written about in The Athletic for. 2 years from now, he's going to be going,
yes.
Damn it. Why did I sign that deal? And that's why agents don't like Howie.
And they will go back and say, we'll toss you a little money, a little more guarantee.
We'll re-guarantee some money.
He's making $850 this year.
Yeah.
He could potentially be making 15 next year if he plays well.
Oh, you brought up OCU Manuro and a embarrassing. You know, there's embarrassing moments in your broadcasting career.
I've never had one.
On Radio Row once, he was being brought around to promote something, and usually they'll have like, oh, he's promoting, you know,
Prop Swap,
right?
Because football's back, and it's time to list your futures bets, your long shots on Prop Swap, where the average Prop Swap seller makes $500 a month. Listing and selling tickets, go to PropSwap.com now.
That's why he's the best in the business.
See, he was coming up to the table. He was wearing his Giants stuff, and I said, Justin, what's going on?
I
thought it was Justin
Tuck. When you started this story, I was going to joke and say, please tell me you called him Justin Tuck.
I called him. I said, Justin, nice to meet you.
That a guy. How'd he handle that?
He ends up being...
He married a local girl, Justin.
He ends up being a Falcon later in his career. And so at training camp, he comes up and he goes, hi, Justin Tuck. Because we talked about it, that's pretty funny.
We
taped the interview, and on the interview, I fell on the sword and embarrassed myself and said, okay, I introduced myself to him and said, hey, Justin. So we made fun of it on the thing, and he goes, guess what? I've had worse things in my life happen to me than comparing me to Justin. He handled it like the coolest guy ever.
I still call Jamie Jane Lynch.
I wish I had our bank account.
Isn't he Jane? Is that your sister? Sister, right?
I wish.
When he puts on a wig behind closed doors and struts around the house.
That's by the way, that was the suggestion yesterday. I was talking about the for us in our contest that we're putting up there for fans, that Jamie wearing wigs on YouTube all week, that has to be your thing if you finish last.
Sure.
By the way, I don't predict Jamie to finish last. But we get to
find... These are tough, these pools.
Bad toupees. Yeah, but the thing is, finishing last, I'm not counting on you to finish last.
I would hope not.
There's Bob, me, Jamie, Pat, Coach, Connor, Mike.
Yeah. I think I'm all right.
I think I'm safe.
What are we doing?
Okay. Whoever finishes last.
Welcome to the show, Bob.
Whoever finishes last. By the way, we're competing against our listeners, too.
Right.
But whichever one of us on the show staff finishes last. By the way, Chucky D's in on this, too. Our boss has to do something humiliating for a week, like something where the line is... I thought of one yesterday for me. I'll dye my hair black. I'll go Coach K. I'll go Coach K. Ricky Ricardo. Back to black. What will Bob do? What will he put on the line? Is the question if he should finish last.
You wear the Borat mankini all week.
I don't. Now, you know what?
See, this Connor's is where you can't get me because I don't care what I look
thing
like.
Thing is, Connor's going to
want that. So you're wearing
the mankini? No, Connor's going to want that.
Not gonna Connor will want that.
Connor's going to want
I think
want
that's
that.
A good one for Connor.
And by the way, Mike Missinelli told
me. Even though we'd suffer.
Mike Missinelli told me that he uses Nair to clean up down there yesterday was the part of the show that I didn't need to hear. Well, it was the part of the show I didn't need to hear yesterday.
I just ate some Cheez-Its.
I didn't need to hear that.
I didn't need to hear it now.
Yeah, I didn't. You didn't have to do that.
All right, coming up.
Damn you, John.
A defining 12-game stretch started out with a big wah-wah last night. Plus, more positivity on your Eagles from Jamie Lynch this time. He's never positive. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. If your air conditioner is constantly running, it's not your air conditioner that's going wrong. It's your windows. Your house is too hot. So what you need to do is you need to get Window Nation windows in all of those windows. And so right now you say to myself, say, John, I've got 26 windows in my house. I can't afford that. I say, wrong. You can. Because they're only going to make you pay for 13 because you buy two, you get two, which is a great deal. Plus, no money down, no payments, no interest for 24 months. It's a spectacular deal right now. No interest, no payments, no money down until what? You're paying Labor Day of 2023? Think of all the cost savings you're going to have and the toasty winters around the fire you'll have in your own home with our friends from Window Nation. They, with over 1 million windows installed, I'm telling you, I'm pointing you to a company that you can trust. A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, that is earned. Make the call today, 866-90-NATION. Save the cash while you can. Save the money on your heating and cooling bills for the next 2 years. 866-90-NATION, tell them Kincaid sent you.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
The 8 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show is brought to you by our friends at Martin Law. They are the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Jamie, it seems like if you'll agree to it, the audience really does seem to be very positive on you wearing wigs or toupees.
Sure, as long as they're provided for me. I'm not going out of pocket.
No. You don't have to go out of pocket.
Yeah.
So we'll all, we'll find something.
Can we get a wig endorsement for you?
No. Bob.
Okay.
Bob Goodwill.
Oh, there you go.
There's always wigs at Goodwill. There's always bad
things. I have a Hartnell Down wig somewhere in my house, like the Afro red wig. And I used to have a mullet wig.
Well, I don't want to
wear that. You look good in it.
Yeah, I have it somewhere.
We will supply the wigs or toupees for you.
The mullet wig is a classic.
Goodwill is a gold mine for that. So I always
if I lose this competition to Coach, I deserve that.
Coach, you're going to have to come up with something. Does Coach agree?
Yeah, we got to make his good.
Does Coach agree to eat a bad breakfast every day?
Love the big wiener. I'm not doing that.
Coach would eat a bad breakfast.
No way.
You're not doing that? Well, then you got to come up with something. Bob.
Connor's in on the mankini, he said, if it's approved.
Would I say with Chucky D, our boss, he is a cyclist.
Yeah, he did 56 miles the other day.
Him and Casey Boy from the Peter and Stan show, which, by the way, congratulations to Peter and Stan, Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Radio Hall of Fame. Since Chucky D is a cyclist, I say Chuck, during the hours of our show, has to wear his bike pants to work.
Oh, I thought you were going to say all day, because that would be even funnier.
With a golf shirt.
What is wrong with you?
If he
went to a meeting in bike shorts and a golf shirt.
Chuck, that would be funny. Would you rather?
I don't want to see that.
I think he should have to do
I'm out.
Bob has to do the entire show without pants on.
No, here's one. Here's two different.
Take your pants off.
Here's two different ones that were suggested from two different people on Bob. I would pay two different guys that have nothing to do with each other. One's from Marlton, New Jersey, and another one from Narberth, suggesting Bob should have to do a show in a women's blouse. All week long, wear a woman's blouse.
Come on, a little nighty.
Would you do that? Would you wear a woman's blouse all week long?
We can do better than this.
Okay, well, let's think about that.
Take your pants off, Bob. Get comfortable.
But that doesn't do anything.
Do you want a massage?
That doesn't do anything.
What the hell is wrong with you?
What?
Oh my God!
I would do it
during that last break.
All of a sudden,
it's the
Sean Watson show has broken out here on the John Kincaid Show. Be careful with that.
Get comfortable, Bob.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, the Phillies opened a critical 12-game stretch last night. Let's make it a critical 11-game stretch because they wet the bed again. Couldn't get any critical hits. This team doesn't have the clutch gene. They lose a snoozer to Tampa Bay. Ranger Suarez was spectacular, giving his team a chance to win. It was just everybody else that can't find a way to be able to come up with a big hit, help them out. No clutch factor at all. This team's incredibly frustrating. And by the way, the Braves lost again to the Yankees. They gave you a deal. You got from the Yankees what you wanted, so you got to split with Tampa tonight. Zach Wheeler's on the mound. I'm certainly hoping that Zach Wheeler returns because I haven't seen Zach Wheeler his last two starts. So I'm hoping that Zach Wheeler goes back to being a Cy Young candidate because I said it before. There's nothing that would make me give the Cy Young to Jacob DeGrom unless Zach Wheeler completely gave it back. Two starts in a row. You can't have your ace in a pennant race giving up games. Zach Wheeler's got to be Zach Wheeler tonight, and this must be a win. Must be a win. Is that fair?
Yeah.
It must be.
I'm reminded of Shawshank Redemption every time we do this conversation.
It's like, how many times have we all, and everybody out there listening, not everybody, but whatever, out there listening, how many times do you turn that on and you watch it? It's must-watch TV,
you
right?
You wander by it, and you wander by it, and you stay for 10 minutes.
And the scene comes on where Andy Dufresne is sitting with the warden, and he says, "You're obtuse." And the warden says, "What did you say to me? Solitary confinement." And he put, because he doesn't know what obtuse means. So if you're watching the movie, and you might say, "Oh, I don't know what obtuse means either." And you look it up, and you say, "Oh, okay, I see it now." And then you watch it again, and you say, "Wait, what does obtuse mean?" And you look it up again, and you look it up again. And every time you watch Shawshank Redemption, you have to look it up again. It's the definition of us pushing these Phillies games back and back and back. Oh, this is a key six-game stretch. This is key 12. They are what they are. There's no keys anymore. They're not going to win this thing. They're not winning this division. The Braves are going to win it. They're probably going to win it going away. The Phillies aren't going to get within another game or two or three. It's just not going to happen because, sorry, guys, they're not good enough.
I say Bob's a liar, and I say Bob will be wrong in the next 2 weeks. They will get closer. They will make this like a three-game race, two-and-a-half-game race. I think they'll get closer. But I hate it when Bob's voice rings in my head after hours because I believe in the long run he's probably going to be right.
Well, Bryce Harper said after the game last night, you know, they got to get things going.
Yeah, we're running out of time.
We're running out of time. Yeah. We got to get things going. So there you go. There's the spark you needed.
Hey,
they're going to take off to the moon, Bob. To the moon.
That clubhouse, man.
Get it going to what, though? I mean, what they haven't. They had an 8-game winning streak, which was great.
No, that's not fair. Fun. Heading into the All-Star break and post-All-Star break, they had a pretty successful run.
They said 8-game.
Well, no, I'm talking longer than the 8 games. Like, they were winning series after series after series there for a little bit.
But they've lost series after series after series also.
Well, here's a
stat. That's why they're a 500
team. Here's a stat, you curmudgeon, courtesy of Boop Jr. Boop put this out this morning.
Love Mr. Vitron.
Phillies record from July 2nd to August 24th. 17-9 with Rhys Hoskins starting, 9-12 with him not starting.
Wow.
I mean, that's a significant thing they just went through and a reason for their losing streak to me. Freddie Galvis is about to be a better Torres. Hopefully, Zach Eflin is back, and maybe Suarez stays. Maybe he goes to the bullpen. Either way, it's strengthening the team. They're
stop. Bet. Stop. You're just.
I'm not
silly.
Saying they're going to win the
you're
division.
Silly.
I'm
just silly.
Refute
you
any point
to.
I.
You want to though.
Refute any point I just made. 17-9 with him. 9-12 without
play
him.
Now every two or three.
We don't
days.
Know that.
Well, he just.
They just proved it, and they just said
they
it.
Sat him one night
day.
And his
no,
return.
They said he can't be an everyday player. He can't be an everyday player.
We still don't really know what he's going to be.
No, he said that. They can't. He's not an everyday
player.
But
we don't, right now, this week, we don't know what he's going to be. He's not going to sit every other night the remainder of the season.
I don't think Joe Girardi said he's not an everyday player this week. I don't believe that's what he said.
And I don't think he's going to.
He's not an everyday player the rest of the
season. I will be absolutely shocked and floored and frankly appalled if he's a sat every other night through now until the end of the season.
I can't believe I'm saying that. I agree with Jamie.
He's going to play.
I think it's foolish to think that for the rest of the season he's going to be an every other day guy. Now would I put it past Joe Girardi? No, because Joe Girardi is I don't think I can say the word on the radio, but he's I mean it's like he overmanages and he's terrified of the other shoe dropping. But
he's not an everyday player. Joe Girardi didn't make it. I mean this is he's not
going to
be. Well
then let's bet on it. I mean
so Joe Girardi's lying to us today?
I think that right now he's saying, okay, we can't play him every day. But come September, when you need those games, do you really think that he's not going to play Rhys Hoskins every day?
I don't know what to believe anymore with them. I really don't.
And that's the real problem.
Because this is a team
that
sits guys, that sits JT Realmuto after days off. That they haphazardly decide who's in and out of the lineup.
Yeah, they don't,
I have no idea.
They don't do the logical move, which is the real problem.
And so that's why
he'll play.
See, you guys are, and I'm not,
this
I'm not
week
being
is,
mean about
this.
This
week is his return, so
you
it's
guys
different.
You guys are asking me, after 125 games of seeing what we've seen over and over and over and over again, 125 games, to believe that things could change in these last 60-some games that will make the Phillies relevant and fight for this division. I'm sorry. I have 125 games under my belt that says no, and now with a key player that the manager, Pat, it's not that we believe it. It's what I'm being told
this week.
That he's in every other
he's
day.
He's returning.
He's not saying
he's
this
returning
week.
From
just
the injury.
Sat out 2 weeks.
So the last week of September, if they're two games out, you think Rhys Hoskins is going to sit
out?
He could be out for the season.
No.
What do you mean no? You don't know. He
don't
might
know.
Be out for the season.
No
I can't believe you guys think he's going to sit every other night for the remainder of the season.
Let's go.
I'm just telling you what.
And by the way, you said 125 games.
Time out.
Oh, so I can't make my point. Hey, got it. Cool.
You've been making your point for four minutes.
All right. Yep.
Come on now. We have Adam Schefter on the line on the Comcast Business Hotline. Every day in business is a big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. Adam Schefter joining us. And we got into discussions, Adam, whether you get more value out of these joint practices or out of some of these preseason games, because it seems like the Eagles look like a Super Bowl team in these scrimmages.
I think the joint practices are the ones that the teams find appealing for a number of reasons, because it's almost as if you could control the environment together with the two organizations working together. Now, every now and then you get a fight, like between the Raiders and Rams. That happens. But you can say, okay, guys, we're going to go out of here. Don't touch the quarterback. Don't hit Jalen Hurts here. Don't hit Cam Newton here, whatever it may be. And you kind of dictate the terms a little bit. And you still get a fresh face, and you still get a different look, and you still get different schemes. And honestly, through training camp, guys get tired of looking at each other and seeing each other and practicing. It's nice to mix it up and get in different people, different players, different schemes, different looks. And that's what that's about to me.
And Adam is brought to us by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Download the app today. Adam, is there any I guess there's no real uniformity around the league in terms of playing time for this third and final preseason game. It's the two-week break then leading up to the season. Do you expect here in Philadelphia, you know, Nick Sirianni hasn't really given any clear answers as to how much Jalen Hurts and some of the starters play, but do you believe we'll potentially get a half of football out of them this Friday?
It seems like different teams have had different approaches to this last preseason game. I don't know how Nick is going to approach it. My guess is he'll get some work for some of the guys. I don't know specifically how it's going to break down. It doesn't matter. I mean, is it that significant? I mean, they got one more preseason game to go, and then they get into the regular season, right?
Well, Jalen Hurts, the reason I ask is because Jalen Hurts has played, I think, two series of football all preseason to this point.
Well, again, the other night we had a box on Monday Night Countdown. I think there are like a dozen starting quarterbacks who have not played at all this preseason.
But those are probably proven, right?
Incorrect.
Really?
Yeah. I'm just calling it up right now. And here we go. This preseason, notable starting quarterbacks who haven't played at all. Aaron Rodgers, yes. Matt Ryan, yes. Matthew Stafford, new offense. Russell Wilson, Ryan Tannehill, Dak Prescott, Derek Carr, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, Daniel Jones, Justin Herbert.
I can't believe Herbert and Jones. Some of the other ones I could agree with and understand it, but you know, when are the consumers of the NFL going to stand up and say this is a joke?
Oh well, they've been saying that for a while.
But I mean, this is really bad, Adam. Yeah, this is actually, I would think this is class action lawsuit stuff from season ticket holders at this point, because now they're not even hiding it anymore. We don't care about these games, and we're going to charge you.
But here's the thing. Again, I'm not defending it.
We know
what it is, right? Like, it's just part of the package. So I don't even know what they charge for a ticket. What does an average ticket cost for $100? $150? I don't even know. What does it cost?
Well, I don't know of any
somewhere
team
around
that's,
there.
I don't know any team that's discounting it. It's part of your season ticket package, and you have to pay full price on the ticket.
I understand that. My point is, if you're paying $100 for eight games, you know, $100 per ticket, eight. Or maybe nine home games. I don't know how it works.
Correct. Might be nine or ten, depending.
Okay, so now you're let's just say it's $900. It's $1,100. You just bake it into the cost. I understand it's not fair. It's not right. It's not the same product. But it's become the cost of doing business over time. I mean, it unfortunately, and you just know what you're paying for. And some people recognize that it's just guys vying for spots, and that's what it is. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. That's how they've always done it. It's always been unfair, but it is the way that it operates.
Shefty, is all the names that you just mentioned, the high, you know, high-named quarterbacks that you just mentioned, this is rare to me that none of them has seen action, that many guys. Is it because mostly predicated because of the one more game added to the schedule, do you think?
I think that what you're seeing, to me, is there's almost a line of demarcation between old school coaches and new school coaches. And I think when you look at some of the guys that haven't played this preseason, it almost falls into a category sometimes
of you know, guys that I think, like, Andy Reid, like Patrick Mahomes played. That's Andy Reid, as Philadelphia knows, right? He, like, sure. I remember going to Eagles training camp, and somewhere I was going around to all the camps, and it wasn't even close. There was more hitting, more violent hitting, more physical work done in that camp than any other camp. And so it was just incredible. Baker Mayfield, Kevin Stefanski, Daniel Jones, Joe Judge, Justin Herbert, Brandon Staley, Matthew Stafford, Sean McVay, Ryan Tannehill, Mike Vrabel. And so I think what you're seeing now, look, you know, there's no reason to play Aaron Rodgers or Matt Ryan. I got that. But I think that there, it breaks down a little bit where, you know, Bill Belichick played Cam Newton. And again, you could say Cam's competing for a job, fine, you know. But so it just seems like it's more of a coaching style in a way that people grew up and are used to me, as much as anything else. Of course, circumstances are the most important. They dictate it. That's the most important factor. Like, again, no reason to play Matt Ryan and Aaron Rodgers. But Andy Reid's playing Patrick Mahomes.
I wonder how much this, who decides to get the vaccine and who doesn't decide to get the vaccine, is going to become a bigger story
as we get towards the close of the season. Oh, it's going to be a story.
And within the locker rooms, I can't imagine this is going over well when the worst team, I think, is what, 80% or 80-something percent?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I got a text the other day from somebody with the league that said, these positive cases popping up are going to bite teams in the butt once the season starts. We'll have another Denver with no QB situation. I mean, it's going to happen. It's going to happen this year. It's just,
And if your starting quarterback can't play because of it and they're not vaccinated, I would imagine the fan base is disgusted. I would imagine 75% of the locker room's disgusted with that player.
Listen, everybody's got their own stances on the vaccine. You know, everybody's got their own. And so in a locker room with 53 men, there are going to be different stances. There just are. And not everybody's going to agree. And there are going to be instances this season that are similar to last season where somebody tests positive. Now, you know, the Bills trainer, yesterday there were three Bills sent home: Cole Beasley, Gabriel Davis, Star Lotulelei. They were on the trainer, and you know, Cole Beasley sent me a message and said, "Hey, the trainer was vaccinated and he tested positive."
He does realize that you can be positive after getting vaccinated, right? Does Cole Beasley understand that? Because it doesn't sound like he does. When I hear him speak, it doesn't sound like he understands how vaccines work. It doesn't mean you can't get something because you had a vaccine.
Yeah, again, everybody has a different stance on this.
Adam, that's not a stance. That's just factual. He sits behind microphones and he keeps talking about, I know people who got COVID after they got the vaccine.
Yeah.
I don't understand what concept he doesn't grasp.
He reached out to me because, again, I put out there that he was sent home. And he's like, hey, FYI, other people are sent home. You know, why is just me? And, again, it's the point where, fair or unfair, he has sort of become the unofficial poster boy of this, right? Mm-hmm. He just has, because he's been so outspoken about it. And, that, you know, he's brought that on himself. And so, I mean, if I said to you today, of the players who object the most, who's the guy you think of the most?
Yeah, he is. He's the one. He's been the most outspoken.
So on that same subject, Adam, the Las Vegas Raiders have come out and saying they're going to need vaccine proof for admission to the games and stadiums. Is there a thought around the league that many more stadiums are going to follow? Because LSU football, excuse me, announced it yesterday, which shocked me, being in SEC country. Is there thought around the league that many stadiums are going to follow this?
Doesn't it make sense to do it that way? Like, you're seeing in New York City, they said that, you know, to enter restaurants, you're going to need a vaccine card. Like, to me, that's logical. It's plausible. So if it's going around in Vegas and LSU and where, yeah, I would think that that's a trend that's going to continue. Why would it not? Like, I know that I'm traveling around to Monday night games this year for Monday Night Countdown, the ESPN pregame show. We didn't go on the road last year. We were in a New York studio. This year we're going to be on the road, and we have to have our vaccine card. And in fact, if you don't have it and you weren't vaccinated, you can't go into the stadium and you're not allowed to travel. Like that's the deal.
That's right. I mean, it's on the field going down to batting practice down at the Phillies games. I have to show my vaccine card. They have to check it. And they got to put it on. They got to give me a little sticker that says I'm allowed on the field. I don't consider it an intrusion.
I don't either. That's me. I don't know. It's
someone else's protection, and someone else wants to be protected, and it's their place of business. And I'm going into it.
We're visitors, right? We're visiting another place. We are around their employees, their organization. And I don't want to be a risk to anybody.
Hey, Adam, we appreciate it. Every day in business, a big day. That Comcast Business Hotline gets you set up. Hope you have a great week, man.
You got it, guys. Thanks so much. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Shefty.
Adam Schefter joining us there.
And thanks to DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app, for bringing us Adam.
And I want to remind you, you can join us in Las Vegas. It is going to be absolutely awesome. You can still get in on the whole trip at phillysportstrips.com, but we've got limited space for us to welcome you into our tailgate party, Kegs and Eggs tailgate party on game day, for you to be able to be a part of the John Dorenbos private magic show and more. Go to phillysportstrips.com, because even if you've made your own way out to Vegas, and I know a lot of people who say, hey, I travel a lot for business. I was able to get my own airfare.
Yeah.
So I'm coming out for it, but I'm not coming out, you know, for that. But can I still come to a party?
Yes, you can.
This is a perfect opportunity for you to be able to do that.
Absolutely.
And have you told Janice yet?
Yes, I had a conversation with her last week, or 2 weeks ago. We're
a little good. Extra in the
we're still wedding? Not sure what's happening, but
little yeah. Extra in the wedding gift, maybe?
I'm not going to be here.
Stephen A. Smith from General Hospital was on yesterday with Mike Missinelli, though. He did a really nice job. Really fantastic. He did good job in
talking
Kimmel.
About General Hospital?
By the way, he didn't talk about it at all. I mean, he talked about doing
good
Kimmel.
Move.
He talked about
a sports talk radio show.
I'm here to tell you right now, we don't care.
Let me tell you something.
We don't care.
He did a good job with Kimmel, too, the other night. The Kimmel Show.
Oh, he was the guest host, yeah. I didn't see any of it.
He did a really good job.
Did he good?
Like, as far as for guest host, first time, really good job. If you're a collector, there may be something that you just want to get your hands on. Plus, Jamie Lynch is going to get really positive on the Eagles, and we will get to that next. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. You know, as a two-time cancer survivor, I'm here to tell you I'm living proof. One of 17 million people that is alive today thanks to the generosity of people like you who have helped to fund cancer research through the American Association for Cancer Research. Their 50 for 50 campaign is a commitment to raise 50 grand to continue advancement in cancer research. Doesn't sound like a lot. You guys can all get involved. Go to aacr.org/50for50 to learn more about all the ways you can get involved to help create the next big cancer breakthrough. The donations that come into organizations like the American Association for Cancer Research add up to big breakthroughs. And they do such a great job of effectively using your funds. Better yet, they're based right here in your backyard. These are your neighbors, and they're saving lives of people like me. So I thank you. I thank you for giving to our official charity, the American Association for Cancer Research. Go to aacr.org/fanatic too, because cancer research saves lives.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Check out our friends from Martin Law. They are the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. You could have a bad day on this Wednesday, but not as bad as my friend Lisa's having.
Uh-oh, what's up, Lisa? What happened?
Lisa, they have been told they have 25 bats living in their attic.
Whoa.
Okay.
Old bats?
They can't, in the rules of their community in suburban Atlanta, they must have them removed humanely. Take a guesstimate of the cost of removing 25 bats because they must be taken alive.
$10,000.
Oh, no, no, no.
What, you got to hire a vampire?
That's right. They have to pay $1,100.
Yeah. Yeah, that sucks. But I thought it was going to be worse.
Bats, the bats must be removed humanely.
Can't you just open a window?
It's they're stuck in the attic fan. They're like, well, we could disconnect your attic fan, take them out. But the thing is, they said no vendor wants to come in and deal with bats.
Home ownership. So isn't it great, folks?
That's great. $1,100? Because bats, why don't you
Would you rather have 25 bats or lose $1,100?
How about if I put a grenade of that, like, rat poison up in the attic and let the bats all die?
That's inhumane, John.
I mean,
the bat community would come and get you.
But is anybody going to, what, Batman going to come in?
Might.
Batman's 70 in the next movie.
I mean, is it even worth it? Halloween's around the corner.
Just
like you got to think about the long game.
You got
here.
The best
think
decorations of all.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Got
the
bats in the stuck, house. They're stuck behind an attic fan, like they're living in the attic fan.
So okay, attic so make fan, your place a haunted house.
If they were stupid enough to go back there, you don't have to be stupid enough to be humane.
I would say, can't you turn on the fan? She said, don't you think I thought of that? All right, hopefully get the bats out of your house.
Did you guys hear that Anthony Gargano?
Yes.
You can hear him next.
Cuz Radio.
Cuz, yes, you've heard of him.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
He's very good. And he said,
I think he's got a future.
And he said that he could beat up Batman. He said it yesterday on the air that he could
beat up
Batman.
Up, wait a minute. He could beat up.
He's obviously never seen The Dark Knight.
Cartoon Batman?
No, not like Adam West Batman.
Or 70-year-old Batman who's going to start the next movie.
I think the character of Batman. I don't think he specified an age.
Is he trained by Ra's al Ghul? Or is he just trained by Cousin Joey like my brother? Because I'll take Batman and his training.
You're going to have to ask him. I just found it interesting of, you know, we're talking bats. He thinks he can beat up Batman. I mean, I've seen...
He's got to watch the Christopher Nolan because that guy's trained to fight.
I've seen him chuck...
Like, train.
Chuck coach into a wall
Batman's
before.
Batman's very real, Bob.
No, Batman's not real. In fact, they have to... This
Thanks,
Batman,
Bruce Wayne.
This Batman movie coming up, they had to scale...
It's a documentary.
The bad guys in the movie due to the height of Batman.
Of Robert Pattinson?
But supposedly they have to do it in every Batman movie. Like they have to go during the George Clooney Batman movie and him and Chris O'Donnell. They had to hire actors... to scale to make sure that they weren't bigger than him. They've run into this in every Tom Cruise movie.
Well, it's because Hollywood's a bunch of tiny people.
So, they have to find tiny,
what the hell am I doing here?
Tiny bad guys and then film them so they look bigger and more imposing.
Yeah, like the Bane shots were from down below and then he looked massive. Tom Hardy's less than 6 foot.
Looks like, now,
great actor.
So Pattinson though.
Anthony could beat up Robert Pattinson, but he's not beating up.
Christian Bale?
Yeah, Christian Bale.
See, I think Christian Bale wins against Anthony.
Yeah. He's trained by Ra's al Ghul.
You don't?
No.
See, I think Pattinson gets his backside kicked by
him. No, I think Anthony grabs him and breaks him like a toothpick.
Really?
Yeah.
Christian Bale, really?
Yeah.
I watched some of the training that he did. That is...
I see how he manhandles you guys in here. I don't need him coming in here and grabbing me by the shoulders. Okay, absolutely, Jamie.
My trapezius hurt for like 2 days after a squeeze from Anthony.
You're what? So
hey, nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance. So you only pay for what you need. So they are auctioning off Kobe Bryant collector's coins. These are reproductions of 8 photographs that have never been seen before. So somebody's seen them. I always love when I read that. Never seen before photos of Kobe Bryant, except the people who made the coin, the guy who owns the coins, the guy who originally took the pictures. I can't think of anything that I would want less than collector's coins of photographs that they're being put on coins. Do you collect anything, and what did you used to collect? If you don't collect anything, what did you used to collect, Bob?
I was never really a collector.
Ever?
I collected bad grades in school.
That's good work.
Yeah. It was pretty easy, too. It came
naturally to you?
I mean, we did baseball cards and stuff when we were little and played flip cards and all that stuff.
But you weren't a collector of the cards. You weren't putting them in a photo album or anything like that.
No, nothing like that. I like hats. So if you want to say I collect hats,
you can't
I'm
even
a big
find
hat
them,
guy.
Though,
can't
say.
Find them. But I do love me some hats. Have all my life. But no, I never really was like, I need to get that a collector of anything at all. No.
I'm a voluminist. What? Do you know what that is?
No, I do not.
It's a collector of matchbooks.
Really?
What a nerd.
I know.
No, I've seen people that have done this. Betty restaurants and...
Yeah, so...
She had a fishbowl.
So yeah, a lot of people did that. My parents growing up had a glass top coffee table that had drawers under it, and they would they filled it with matchboxes. Not as much local, but like from our vacations and travel together as a family. So you'd always look down and be like, oh, it was a nice reminder of the trip.
What's it called?
A voluminist.
Oh, what a loser.
I know.
A voluminist.
Most of the time, the common man calls them virgins.
Yeah. So my wife and I kind of picked it up, like on vacation and travels. And, you know, we have a little bold phase John thing.
That's what my mom had that.
Yeah. Okay. So it's cool. You see, like, oh, there's a honeymoon restaurant we went to. Oh, there's the trip to California.
But you have to, like, empty them out to look at them.
Right? Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we're not hardcore. We're not presenting them to everybody that comes in. It's just a nice little, you know, memory bank.
Pat, you collect anything?
Yeah, I'm not a nerd. I do collect stuff.
You are a nerd.
Not matchbooks.
You're
like
a little
some
bit of
people.
Nerd.
I collect grown man
pogs?
Stuff. I collect
Beanie Babies.
I collect cards.
What do you collect?
I still have my hockey card collection, my baseball card collection.
So you keep all those?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, I still have them. Jerseys. I mean, at this point, I have to say it's a collection because you have more than 20 of them.
Nephew Billy just sent me this, and I don't know if this is this a grown man accepted violation? He collects 12-inch. For the YouTube audience, he said he collects
Star Wars figurines,
like figurines of. Action
figures.
Yeah, that's cool.
So you're all right? That's not... So Nephew Billy does that?
Those, have you seen those like square-headed little... I think they're called like Bop?
Oh, the...
Olivia has
Funko,
some of those.
Funko Pops. People are really into those. I know that's a popular one
these
days.
The only thing I ever collected as a kid was the Acme stickers. They had the sports stickers where you had... Acme gave you the book... And you had to collect sports stickers of teams. So they had like baseball cards. And if you completed like teams, you got something. Like there was an award, but it was like a sticker. So your mom would come home from Acme and she'd have.
I vaguely remember something like this.
These stickers that you. And then I'd get my book and I'd get my book out and put them in. And they did hockey. I remember it was big hockey ones. So it's a sticker book. I don't know whatever happened.
That's not bad. I mean,
it's the only thing I ever did.
I think the most like nerdy thing has to be. I mean, anybody who collects Pez dispensers, run away.
Nerd.
I mean, they're serial killers.
Serial killer.
It's well known. Jeffrey Dahmer collected Pez dispensers
and bodies.
Yeah, exactly. So
in a freezer.
If you find anybody or you work with someone who collects Pez dispensers, run the hell away. Because they're weird people.
I collected a golf ball from each golf course for a while. Coach, I mean, serial killer?
What?
You collect Pez dispensers.
He's got a Princess Di one.
That scares me.
Actually, have them in a locked...
He's got a Princess Di one that's apparently worth some money.
Well, no, the most valuable Pez dispenser that I have, and by the way, they're locked in a... I'll take a picture and send it to you guys tonight.
It's a Mary Poppins one.
They're
right?
Locked in a...
In a climate-controlled room?
Yeah. You know, but in a little like showcase thing. My Mary Poppins Pez dispenser... There are two different kinds of Mary Poppins. There's the ones... They don't have any feet, by the way.
Oh, what a loser!
Don't turn your back on Coach. He's going to kill you.
The one that's the most expensive has, like, coloring on her cheeks. I don't have the one with the coloring on her cheeks. I have just regular cheeks. That's worth...
I want to see this.
$600 or $700.
You have to... Really?
The one with the coloring on her cheeks is worth a couple $1,000. Yeah.
So Adam tweeted in, Adam Sigley says, this is kind of cool. I collect poker chips from everywhere I've gambled.
See, I love that.
That's very cool.
That's a great idea.
I can't get over the image of Coach going up to a bar or going into a bar and asking a girl like, hey, I don't know if you're into this, but you can come back and see my Pez dispenser. And then they go thinking it's a euphemism and actually, no, it's a legit Mary Poppins Pez dispenser.
And they were like, oh, I thought I was just here for
a
guest.
What is the strangest Pez dispenser?
Check out my Pez.
The strangest one. Jeez.
All of them.
I have...
Look at Bob. He's so mortified.
Bob Cooney Pez dispenser?
Bob, this is the only thing that makes Bob actually want to talk about the Phillies.
tweets in. He says, these days I seem to be collecting a lot of ex-wives.
That's a good one.
How many do you connect? If you have more than two ex-wives, you're not good at marriage. Just don't pick up a third. I don't get it.
Mike Tone says
practice makes perfect.
We collect coasters from cool bars we've traveled to around the world. I have a couple coasters around.
Bad, yeah.
Like Hemingway Bar in Paris. I grabbed one there. That was cool.
By the way, do you know how to properly load a Pez dispenser?
That's fake.
The funny thing is,
I had somebody try it.
Really? It's like they're.
Yeah, I think it's fake.
No, they're showing it. It shows you.
I know.
Can we get the Pez dispenser expert on this?
They're showing you people do it. Can you do that, coach? Can you put the paper? You just put it in with the foil.
Yeah. Come on. Now to do that. And besides, all of my Pez dispensers, which is probably, I want to say it's probably close to about 500 Pez dispensers.
Okay. What?
Maybe a little more.
500?
All of them have the candy in all of them in the locked cabinet.
Oh my God!
Now some of that candy could be from.
Oh my God!
I mean, some of the candy might be 15 years old.
Here's one is Lewis Malone. Says,
please put the camera on Bob right now.
He makes Pez dispensers of his victims.
I like that.
Oh my God!
Brandon tweets in the golf the putt marker from any golf course he plays. You
that's
know, not bad. A nice course will have the freebies you can.
But you have to display them, right?
That'd be cool to display. Yeah.
All right, Mike and Del Ran. He's always a voice of reason. Mike, you're on the Fanatic. You have a collection?
500 Pez dispensers?
Psycho, Mike. You see what we have to put up with here, Mike?
I also used to... Well, so before my wife and my new kids, when I was single and it was just my daughter, I had I had the action figures, the 12-inch Marvel action figures. And I had, like, I want to say I had close to over a couple hundred of them. And then I went out on my first date with my wife.
Yeah, then you had a date.
I immediately posted them on eBay and sold them for $3,500.
then you got interested in women.
Yeah, right. But yeah, exactly. But then now I collect sports stuff, you know, from the bar I have in my garage. And I was actually funny. I told Mike Miss this last week. I have a autographed bag, a game used bag of Redman chewing tobacco. Signed by Lenny Dykstra.
That's pretty cool.
I got.
Well, yeah. See, that's a unique, crazy item. Give us the Go Birds, please.
Go Birds!
All right, there you go. That's a unique item.
Really?
No, that's a unique item.
So I'm going to walk into Mike's bar in his garage, and I love Mike to death. And he's going to go, yo, Coon, look at this. I have a, what did he have?
Redman
from Lenny package Dykstra. Signed by Lenny Dykstra.
There you go.
You know what my response is going to be?
Why?
Where's the beer?
Yes, exactly.
Like, that doesn't do anything for me.
Whatever floats your boat.
Let's see what Jamie can get positive out of the Philadelphia Eagles. 3 hours in a row.
This is the linchpin.
Where can you get positive with us, Jamie?
Jonathan Gannon in the defense.
Okay.
You talked about the D-line earlier. I think Jim Schwartz at the end was stubborn and arrogant. And didn't necessarily change things to suit his players. He was, this is my system, take it or leave it. Darius Slay, you like having eyes on a quarterback? Too bad, you're going to be playing with your back to the quarterback most of the season. I just think it was time for a change. I think the players grew stale with it. And if I could characterize Jim Schwartz's career in Philly, I would say good, but stubborn as hell.
Yeah.
And I think there's going to be a fresh air. Not only for the defenders, but for us viewers. I think we're going to see some 3-4. I think we're going to see some 4-3. I think we're going to see versatility and rotational pieces. I think Steven Nelson is an upgrade over Avante Maddox. I think Anthony Harris is an upgrade over Jalen Mills. I think Eric Wilson is an upgrade over the Whitesnake. So I think you, while only mildly, you improved your actual players. I think Jonathan Gannon is going to bring versatility and a game-to-game approach as opposed to this is what we are and this is what we do. I think he's going to be malleable. I think he's going to be fun. And I think he's going to be a head coach in this league in probably the next 2 years. So enjoy it while you got it because I have a lot of faith in this guy. I'm excited to see what he brings to this team.
I'm obsessed over Jonathan Gannon. He's been the one that I'm most enthused to see, Bob. So I like Jamie's angle there because He intrigues me the most.
It's going to be fresh.
Even more than Sirianni.
Here's what I like about Jamie's angle. Here's what we do. That's what you said. That's
just short part. Yeah.
The first part of it, here's who we are, or here's what we are, that's what scares me a little bit.
Okay.
He might have great schemes and all that, and Jamie, you laid it out. There are upgrades from last year.
I'm not convinced that there's a lot of really good players on that defensive side of the ball yet. I need to see it. And I am. I'm excited for their defense also. I'm just worried about the personnel that's trying to execute what we are. In Gannon's words, not my words. I'm not using the word we. What we are. You know, I get that. It's good. I love everything he said. And then, John, you're very high on him. I'm excited to see it. I just worry about even the names you mentioned. Upgrades, yeah, from a bad defense. Here's hoping. Fingers crossed. I'm not gonna rain on the positivity parade. No way.
Pat, are you going to be poo-poo or not?
No.
Oh, good. Okay.
His name's not Jim Schwartz. He doesn't wear sunglasses at night.
Yeah.
He doesn't think he's the smartest guy in the room. I'm all positive with pretty much anybody not named Jim Schwartz. So, look, there's a lot of positive buzz coming out about Gannon, and I think that this team isn't really expected to do much, so I think that alludes to him being here more than 1 year. But I don't know how long he is going to be here because of the fact that you keep hearing great things about him being a head coaching candidate. But I think kind of like Frank Reich, when he was brought in here, he kind of had a similar buzz about him. You'll see him long enough for the team to hopefully contend.
Yeah, they were 20th in the NFL last year overall as a team defense, which is, you know.
What are we shooting for, 15?
Yeah, 15. I want a top 15 defense because I think if you're top 15, that's going to keep you in most games. Top half.
I think a top half of the NFL would be a nice improvement. It's sort of like that Zach Eflin discussion we had yesterday. Pat and I made the number on 375. For him.
Yeah.
Could he get it from 394 to 375 in a year? And by the way, that is a significant improvement.
Sure.
Over the course of a
375
season.
Is really good in today's MLB.
And so to me, if you move from 20 to the top 16, 15, I'm really happy with what they've done.
Yeah.
I'll be excited about it.
I just think there's some notable upgrades from players, and I think his fresh, you know, not to use the corny thing, but snowflake approach, every game's unique, don't fit your system into your opponents. He keeps talking about our opponents and we'll coach them differently each week. Every team that offense they're going to face does something better than the team before, does something worse. So try to focus on the plus and minuses of the team you're facing as opposed to just putting your system out there and sticking with it.
Nothing about Jim Schwartz's defensive philosophy said versatility.
No. No.
Nothing. That was a word you could never use.
Square peg, round hole.
But I got to tell you, I think overall he did a good job.
Yeah, he was good, but stubborn.
Stop both of you. Stop that.
No, but I think he did the. There are some coaches who believe it's my system. You're going to play my system. We're going to do my system.
Yeah.
And I watched Bill Parcells, and I've read anything he's ever written, where Bill Parcells, the guy I've read a lot about, and he loves to say he got to New England. He had always been a coach that believed in running the football, big tackles, run the football. He got to New England. He had the number one pick in the draft. He got Drew Bledsoe, and he threw it more than any team in the NFL.
Yeah.
Because he had to change his philosophy to fit what he's got. I always like that better out of a coach, Bob.
Oh, my biggest pet peeve in all of sports is coaches that will not change their philosophy due to the personnel that is in front of them.
Yes.
It's my biggest pet peeve in every level of sports, from kids to on up to the professionals. You play to your strengths.
Yeah.
You hide your weaknesses. It's kind of that simple. And then you get into the deep stuff of, all right, how do I expose my strengths and how do I hide my weaknesses? But to just come in with a system, no matter who you have,
hell yeah,
can't stand that.
And that Jonathan Gannon Optimism Report was brought to you by PropSwap. Football's back, so it's time to list your futures bets, your long shots on PropSwap, where the average PropSwap seller makes $500 a month listing and selling tickets. Go to PropSwap.com now.
By the way, for Jonathan Gannon to get that head coaching job, though, he's got to, this year, he's got to make them a top half of the NFL.
And then top 10 next year.
And then, you know, I mean, he has to show.
Yeah. Okay,
he has to be the
He'll
hot.
He'll be here 2 years minimum.
He has to be the hot, sexy name for somebody to, or the Eagles, you know, make a run in a bad division. And again, this division looks bad.
Hey, if it's good, bad.
If Gannon's defense shows me a playmaker or two on that defense, because I haven't seen it in years, I'm happy.
Yes.
I mean, they were, I think, 8 interceptions as a team last year. Oh. Like, to me, that's not hard to improve on.
I would think you could accidentally get
12. Yeah.
Yeah.
Omar Epps was their leading
with
two Omar interceptions.
No, not Omar Epps.
He's a fantastic
I would have rather had Omar Epps.
He was great in the program. He didn't fumble after a while.
He's fantastic because he carried that ball around all the time.
I love that movie.
Oh, my gosh.
Starting defense!
Huge football guy, too. Like obsessed with football.
Really? That's cool.
Obsessed with it. That fantasy football leagues and everything like that.
Was Halle Berry his love interest in that? Wasn't she the daughter of the booster?
Yes. Wasn't she?
I think so. Yeah. It's good work, Omar.
She's just
Halle Berry. Whew. Madone.
She's attractive.
She is not ugly.
She's still.
Did you say my wife?
Oh, yeah. Madone.
She is still absolutely incredible.
Yes, she is.
I would take her to Qdoba.
By the way, Pat's Takes comes your way in the next hour. Don't want to miss that. A little fun and frivolity.
Oh, that's today?
Yeah, plus you have to get, what will be harder, preparing for Pat's Takes or getting positive on the Eagles from Pat Egan? We'll find out. Plus, Devontae Smith, he's making a name for himself, and it's a big one. It's the John Kincaid Show. Stick around. We got an hour to go here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The NFL is back, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving all new players a can't-miss offer for week one. Bet just $1 on any NFL game during the first week of the season and receive $200 in free bets instantly, no matter what. You heard that right. DraftKings is giving all new players $200 in free bets instantly when you place a bet of $1 or more on any Week 1 game. Head to the DraftKings Sportsbook app now to check out all the great promotions and daily odds boosts. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code FANATIC to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any Week 1 game. That's code FANATIC for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. New customers only, restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic, and we appreciate you hanging out with the show all day long. Cuz Radio with Andrew Salchunas comes your way at the top of the hour. Don't miss it. If you missed yesterday, Cuz could beat up Batman, but Cuz has respect for Spider-Man. Cuz has respect for Spider-Man.
Are you serious?
Why? Because he mutated?
He does not have any respect for Batman.
That's ridiculous.
Because Batman bought everything.
No, he's got a point. He did. You're really going to argue he didn't buy everything?
Well, what
he was
he
born
buy?
Into extreme. This is the problem. Jamie's defending his own kind. Jamie's defending the rich.
Are we talking about Adam West? Batman doesn't exist anymore. Christopher Nolan era Batman is the real Batman.
You mean the guy that was born to extreme wealth?
Yeah. Sure, and lost his parents, Matt. Is that worth it? Probably not. I bet if you ask Bruce Wayne, he'd rather have his parents.
Me and T-Dog have had a good run, but
they're not real people.
Bob, it's a documentary series. Bob, everybody knows this.
Zip it. Fake. You are not needed right now, Bob.
He trained.
We're talking about important matters.
He trained.
Christian Bale is badass in those movies.
We're talking about if Anthony Organa can beat up a fictional character.
Christian Bale would body Anthony.
Remember, Batman trained with his teenage boy that he was training with.
Well, Robin's bisexual now.
What?
Yeah, that just came out recently.
John, you didn't experiment in college?
Wait a minute. What are you talking about?
Robin is bisexual. That just came out last week.
You thought Robin, just worked with Batman and they didn't, and they weren't fighting crime?
Serious?
They did not do this.
Swear to God. NBC News story right here. Batman sidekick Robin comes out as bisexual and lets comic book fans know they are seen.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It was big news last week.
So now they're going back and they're rewriting all these stories?
Bob?
No, they're not going to rewrite anything.
Congratulations. Robin is one of you.
Bob said, I want to get back to the Phillies.
Get it back to the Eagles.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, Robin's bisexual.
So they're going back and they're rewriting
it. No, it's story. Just you can look back now and know that he was bisexual the whole time.
Well, who was he?
We're talking about comic books,
with Batman. Obviously.
Oh, now you're going to say it's a sure. Okay.
They're not going to rewrite the history of it.
Oh, my God.
Like, no. Just going forward, he will bat both ways. And you can look back and see that he
puts a whole new meaning to the Riddler.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It really does. The Eagles are 27.
I mean, his outfit. Come on.
Okay, come on. The Eagles are 27th in this week's ESPN NFL Power Rankings, which is atrocious. I will bet absolutely that they'll be better than that. What's more atrocious, though? Caring about power rankings. So I'm wondering, should we establish a ban on discussions of power rankings or their ever being introduced into conversation on this show? If we get at four callers right now, four callers at 610-632-0975, you can take place in the jury because we'll all cast a vote. But if you want to cast on this, do you pay attention to power rankings? Do you care about them? I found out that they come out every Tuesday around lunchtime. Tuesday at lunchtime, you can find out where your team is in the power rankings. So a jury of our peers here, if you want to participate in it, 610-632-0975. Bob, I don't even have to ask you. I know where you are on this, I believe.
Well, it's almost like, do you care what other people think above you?
Well, this is a writers from around the league stacking teams.
I mean, in the end, does it?
It doesn't matter.
I don't
want
to downplay it. I don't, because it doesn't. I'll be honest. It interests me to take a look. Oh, where does somebody else have the Eagles? Where does somebody else? Why does somebody else think higher or lower of the team that we're watching every Sunday? So I have interest in it. Yeah,
I have no interest in them.
I have very mild.
Okay.
Yeah, I would put mine as mild.
Okay,
tempered. Yeah, I don't completely disregard it, but it also, it's pretty week one, so nobody knows. I mean, Jalen Hurts could come out here and look like Tom Brady in year 12, and all of a sudden that changes. So it's going to change. It's an ever-evolving thing, much like percentages in baseball playoff chances, Pat.
All right, let's hear a jury of our peers. Brian on a cell checks in. Brian, where are you on power rankings? Do you care at all about them? I put Brian up, and he's not there.
Oh, he's zapped.
How about Ethan? Ethan, welcome into the Fanatic.
What's up? How you doing?
Ethan, where do you fall on this?
I don't think power rankings matter that much. It's all based on your opinions, and opinions aren't true. Some people think one way, some people think another way. But you just got to believe in your team, man, and they'll be able to pull through.
So you do not seek out a power rankings when you see the story on, like, a website or something?
No, I don't look at them that much because, for me, I'm a big sports guy. I've played sports my whole life. Rankings aren't always right, and they're just someone's opinion.
Okay, I mean, that's all we offer.
Well, that's exactly why I didn't go down saying, what do I care about? So, I swear to God, Ethan, it's exactly why I didn't say, well, who cares? It's just somebody's opinion. Because that's what we do.
We peddle in opinions every day.
Exactly.
Useless, stupid opinions many days.
Yeah, but when these websites put it out, it's framed differently than just people. It's supposed to be, you know, these guys in this can, this guy's seen team.
Yeah, and they are. It's their beat.
Some runs. Are, but the AFC West guys aren't looking at the NFC East team, so it's like, all right.
It's Pat and Bala joining us right outside our door. Pat, how are you?
I'm so adamant about this that I had to call up and say the power rankings suck. All right,
Pat, what do you do for a living?
I work with a couple of jagaloons, four jagaloons.
Oh, you were with four.
Yep, but I like my job and I appreciate my bosses and the company. But power rankings, I use standings as power rankings.
So, Pat, Pat, you wouldn't be like a radio producer making a fake call, would you?
It
falls right in on this. I mean, I hate power. I hate power ranking discussions.
Yeah,
discussions of it. But
in season is more acceptable to me than preseason.
Oh yeah.
Oh God. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like preseason is just darts at a board.
You know what I know? I know that the guys, as you put out, like Mike Sando, who covers, I believe Mike does the Arizona Cardinals. Some writers that I know, some really, really good writers that I know right now, they don't know a damn thing about the Eagles.
No.
Except what they've talked, maybe they've talked to somebody who gives them a little bit of insight, but they haven't put their eyeballs on them. I know those guys watch football. So I know that they go, and when the regular season comes around, they'll see an Eagles game.
Sure.
They'll have a better opinion on it. Preseason doesn't matter, Jack.
No, God, no.
Jack.
No.
It's just a little...
So what do we decide?
Well, we're not banning it, but we will not. It will never be the focus of a segment. I think we're going to find a compromise here, because Jamie and Bob give them some level of credence. I hate them, but if somebody wants to make it as part of a discussion... Then we make
no. What your name's on the show, John?
Yeah, but I'm I don't
put it on the table.
I don't want to be a dictator, so I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to ban him. We're going to keep him. See, but if the conversation is stupid,
no, don't worry. I don't think Bob and I will be driving any segments with the latest power rankings. I occasionally like to glance at them and see.
We've never we didn't do a ton of it, but do you think power rankings mock drafts by writers?
What about mock drafts by idiot radio guys and like 14 of them leading up to the
window? Those are good. They're real good.
See, now the thing is, though, you're our idiot.
Oh.
See, you're our idiot. So that's different.
Yeah.
I always will look at if I see a mock draft that is done by guys who.
Like Daniel Jeremiah, I put some credence in. He was a scout.
I'm
he
a big
worked.
Fan.
Yeah, he
big
worked
fan.
In those rankings. So I read those.
People mock Todd McShay and.
I read those. And, those are about the only three.
And Mel Kiper.
Mm-hmm.
They mock them.
Because they're talking to the 32 GMs.
They really aren't, though.
Some. Maybe not all 32.
Some of them,
they're they're getting an idea of. Yeah. What teams need, what they're looking
right.
for.
By the way,
educated.
They have ears in the scouting community.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And so I will check out, you said Daniel Jeremiah. I'm checking out his work. I'm checking out Kiper and McShay.
Yeah.
I'm not taking it as Bible.
No.
But I know how hard that guy's work, but I can tell you something. I'll take you right behind the curtain there. The amount of GMs that talk to Kiper and McShay, very small. Very small.
But how many of their scouts or underlings
they
talk
know
to McShay?
Scouts
and,
everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
They know scouts everywhere.
So
I'll put it that way.
They get the trickle-down effect of the GM.
And guess, by the way, as people want to mock those guys, I know both guys work their asses off.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
And by the way, they are very competitive.
Well, we all know that Bill Tobin didn't talk to Mel Kiper.
Exactly. He didn't want any.
He wanted to fight him.
And
he talked to his mailman, though, but he didn't talk to Kiper.
By the way, very competitive with each other.
I don't doubt that.
Mel and Todd.
Yeah, sure.
I guess it's like two good writers at the same newspaper.
Oh, absolutely.
You're competitive. You're pushing each other.
Yeah.
And Mel Kiper eats pumpkin pie every morning for breakfast every day of the year.
That's amazing.
I respect that.
A cup of coffee, I believe black coffee, with pumpkin pie every day of the year.
So even if he's going on vacation, he's packing pumpkin pies?
Every day of the year.
That's amazing.
He is.
That is dedication.
Even me, who is as ritualistic as anybody, that's maniacal.
What if he went to Europe?
He is pumpkin. Well, first of all, I don't think he'd travel to Europe. I think there's things that... There's
so he only goes travel locations that have pumpkin pie?
No, I don't think that's it. If I remember Mel with travel, it was more, he looks as vacation as just downtime. He doesn't want to work on vacation.
He's morphed into Sam the Eagle. From the Muppets. As the years go on, he looks more and more like Sam the Eagle. I can't shake it.
Tremendous person. Tremendous person. Pat, get positive with us on the Eagles. We've all done this. So come on. Let's go.
Play the happy music.
Come on,
get
positive.
The happy music going.
Positive. Come on now.
Yeah, so the Eagles, they're a football team.
Yes.
And look, I think the best thing about this upcoming season is the fact that there are really no expectations for this team. And I'm not going to have to be stressed out over a win and a loss because I'm not expecting them to do anything. And it's
so you won't come in Monday pissed off.
Bob thinks that I'm not going to.
Okay. I've been told wait for this. Wait for Pat after they lose games.
I think it's adorable he's saying this. He will come in pissed off.
I'm not going to come in pissed off because I don't
promise.
I came in pissed off when I expected them to actually contend for something.
Okay.
I'm not expecting that. So the wins and the losses, honestly, I might be more pissed off if they win games because then it's gonna hurt their draft status. But it's a developmental year, and I think there's a lot of young, promising guys on this roster that you're going to be able to look at and evaluate and figure out if they are somebody you move forward with and not. Jalen Hurts obviously being the biggest one, but I mentioned him earlier, guys like Jalen Reagor, some depth guys. Do you see Landon Dickerson? So the fact that I don't have to focus on
are they winning, are they losing, but I can focus on kind of everything else but the score, is a nice change of pace. If, you can shake your head all you don't know me, Bob.
I'm shaking my head, and wow,
I can't believe you've grown
up.
Grown.
No,
I've matured.
Words are one thing, action's another. If they're 3-2 after 5 weeks and they lose the following week, Egan will come in here pissed off.
No. If they're 1-0 and they lose the following week, Egan will come in here.
I'm telling you, I will be more upset if they end up winning 7 or 8 games because it's going to hurt their draft status.
And as we went over, you don't need a top three pick.
Pat, what I would tell you is I hate when my team has no chance to win anything. Where I know that they're not a playoff team. They're not a team that can win if they made the playoffs. I hate it when they win 7. I hate the 7-9.
Like the Chip Kelly's last year. Pat Shurmur comes in as interim head coach.
And then
they win the last game. I think they went from 14th to 20th in the draft.
I hate it.
And it sucked. That's what Doug Peterson did. I'll always thank him for not just the Super Bowl, but putting in a third string quarterback there.
I appreciate that he did that on my first day. That was our first show. The Tank by Doug Peterson. And I will always appreciate Doug for that.
It got us Devontae Smith.
Yeah, and it got him to be able to maneuver, and Miami ended up paying.
I can't believe how bad they botched that. Miami's really what a bunch of idiots.
They really did.
What were they thinking?
They got outplayed by Howie Roseman at the draft.
A lot of people do.
Again,
he's good at trades. He might not be good at picking the players, but he's good at trades.
Hey, the Delaware Valley's ultimate game room store since 1982. It's Royal Billiard and Recreation, providing the best in pool tables, shuffleboard tables, foosball, darts, and other games online at royalbilliard.com. I've had a lot of people giving me, you know, suggestions on that, and I'm leaning towards the Temple University one.
I like that.
If that ended up being Olivia's choice, I'm ending up that the father-daughter combination.
Well, if you get it, then you can guilt trip her into going to Temple.
I don't want to do that, though. She will not.
I mean, I'll do it for you.
She will not. She's not applying to some schools that are reaching out to her and trying to get her to apply, and she's ignoring them. And as a father, I want to say, are you being... I don't want to use words that I don't like to use. You're being, but she will not listen.
Well, I mean, so I remember
I don't even try because I shouldn't do that.
My dad yelled at me for not following up with the University of Phoenix and being Phoenix proud.
He thought
I was an idiot.
You could have been.
But look at me now.
Look at you. Look,
I had the last laugh there, Johnny.
Look where you ended up. They missed it. Hey, in Cooney's Corner, Bob says two things can't come together at the same time. Like chocolate and peanut butter?
Let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Come on now. Chocolate and peanut butter, they're great together, except for you.
Yeah, this is why the Phillies team is so maddening. Okay? We'll see at times. And we went into this season saying, all right, this is going to be a hitting team. Right?
Oh, this is going to be a hitting team. We did.
And you're hoping that Wheeler, 2 or 3 years removed from the Tommy John surgery, might be close to an ace or an ace. Nola being hopefully what Nola was. All of that stuff. And then you said, well, Eflin, you don't know in the back end of the starting pitching. You just don't know. But the hitting will overcome it.
Sure.
And then the hitting does what they do, and they faltered, and they haven't been really good this year. And Alec Bohm hasn't been good. And Real Muto's been up and down. And Harper's been good lately, but wasn't expectation-wise as good at the beginning of the season. Then, all of a sudden, the pitching starts coming through, and things look really good there. And a prime example. We talked earlier about Reese Hoskins being out for 14 games recently, a big part of their lineup. Jamie, probably correctly so, saying the big cog in the offense. He's out for 14 games. The pitchers are credible. They throw up a 3.79 ERA during those 14 games. That's okay.
Okay.
That's borderline good, right?
Sure.
Would you guys agree?
No, that's more than borderline good. That's
good. 3.79 ERA. What does the offense do in those 14 games? They throw 2.86 runs a game.
It's terrible.
You know, it's crazy. They go 8-0, and then they come back in the next 11 games, go 3-8, and hit 174 in an 11-game span.
No, they didn't.
That's exactly what they did.
Yes, they did.
They went 60 for 344 in that 11-game span.
That can't be true.
Right after winning 8 in a row. They can't put the two things together. Pitching doesn't come along well, and hitting come along well, and they combine the two, and that's what you get. That's what good teams do. That's what division winners do.
All right.
And if the Phillies could do that, with, what'd we say, how many games left? 40-some games left? Maybe? Do you honestly feel they could?
No.
I mean, that's what it all boils down to.
I guess I don't honestly feel it.
I do.
But I would love to believe it.
Okay, so let's carry it further.
But I don't honestly believe it, no.
And they haven't showed that it can over 125 games so far. So, if they don't come together, idealistically, as I just said, is there one that can carry this team if the other isn't up to snuff?
I think this team would be tied for first place right now if they played adequate defense. So it's weird. Like, I mean, I think that there's a whole nother component. If this team just played adequate defense, they'd be in first place or tied for it right now.
Absolutely.
But what could carry this team? The bats could carry this team. The bats could. They could. Do I believe it's going to happen? No. But they absolutely. We could see the bats get really, really hot and carry this team and pull them along. I think we could. If I'm betting on one thing, I'm betting on bats.
Okay.
Because I've heard that we have an MVP candidate on the team, which I don't believe.
Well, tell that to the sports books.
I don't believe it.
NL.
Well, they'll put anything in a sports book to get you to bet it if people will bet it. I'm not doing that.
Come on.
No, that's what they did.
Yeah.
That's why they put Dallas's number in the sports book.
He's not second in the odds because he's not an MVP candidate.
Then put the money down on it.
I'm not.
I wouldn't.
It's Tatis Jr.'s to lose.
I don't believe the number.
But he's second. I mean, let's not act like he's not a legit MVP candidate.
All right, so could the offense carry this team to the division?
Well, the pitching's not going
to
do it. The offense would have to if I have to choose between the two, because you've seen them be, for the Phillies, exceptional.
I just saw them go a 174 average over an 11-game span.
No, that's what I'm saying. The pitching we just saw has been, for their standards, phenomenal.
So the pitching
has tried to carry you, and it's not good enough. The offense has to be the one that can carry you.
I think it's got
to
be that, too.
Yeah.
It's got to be the... Bob, if we have any hope, it's the offense.
And Rhys Hoskins has to play.
Do you have hope in it, Pat? Do you have hope the offense could carry it?
I have hope. I don't really have a ton of confidence, but I have hope. I mean, you have your offense... It's the most consistent in terms of guys being out there every single day. The pitching rotation obviously changes every day. So I have more hope than in the bats than in the pitching, for sure. Do I have confidence in it? Not really.
No, I don't have confidence in either one.
No, but it's possible. But you have that hope.
If you told me we wake up the last week of September, early into October, we're talking about those games in Atlanta matter, I will guarantee... It's because this team hit its way into the race, not pitched its way in. I guarantee that. But we'll see.
Yeah.
See what happens.
So you Ranger Suarez, get it done.
I loved Ranger last night. They got it done. They did.
He was great.
Yeah. He did a great job.
He's been in one of the very few incredible bright spots this year.
By the way, Ranger, too, if you heard, is that wants to be a starter.
Yeah.
Does not want to be in the
league. Well, he always was.
Yeah, and he wants to be, and he absolutely does not want
to. Well, the fifth job's up for grabs.
I think he's got.
You might argue the fourth job's up for grabs.
The fourth job is up
for grabs. Well, I mean, Eflin's fine.
What? Wasn't talking Eflin.
Hey.
Well, Gibson, Nola.
I wasn't talking Wheeler.
Gibson's two, Nola's three, and then there you go. Hey, remember to support Life-Saving Cancer Research. Join us and our generous partner, Adam Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing, and make a donation today to the American Association for Cancer Research. Go to 975thefanatic.com/AACR because cancer research saves lives. We inch closer and closer to the Eagles' final preseason game. And there's hopefully we gave you a little sense of positivity today on this. We'll look forward to talking about the plan for Nick Sirianni and his team coming your way tomorrow. It's going to be a busy, busy Thursday. We will have game time and more. Be with us. John Kincaid Show, telling you, stick around for Cuz Radio right here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Jack and Kate Show on the Fanatic, and we appreciate you hanging out with the show all day long. Cuz Radio with Andrew Salchunas comes your way at the top of the hour. Don't miss it. If you missed yesterday, Cuz could beat up Batman, but Cuz has respect for Spider-Man. Cuz has respect for Spider-Man.
Are you serious?
Why? Because he mutated?
He does not have any respect for Batman.
That's ridiculous.
Because Batman bought everything.
He's got a point. He did. You're really going to argue he didn't buy everything?
Well, what
he was born into extreme. This is the problem. Jamie's defending his own kind. Jamie's defending the rich.
Are we talking about Adam West? Batman doesn't exist anymore. Christopher Nolan era Batman is the real Batman.
You mean the guy that was born to extreme wealth?
Yeah. Sure, and lost his parents, Matt. Is that worth it? Probably not. I bet if you ask Bruce Wayne, he'd rather have his parents.
Me and T-Dog have had a good run, but...
They're not real people.
Bob, it's a documentary series. Bob, everybody knows this.
Zip it. Fake. You are not needed right now, Bob.
He trained.
We're talking about important matters.
He trained.
Christian Bale is badass in those movies.
We're talking about if Anthony Organa can beat up a fictional character.
Christian
Bob,
Bale would body Anthony.
Remember, Batman trained with his teenage boy that he was training with.
Well, Robin's bisexual now.
What?
Yeah, that just came out recently.
John, you didn't experiment in college?
Wait a minute. What are you talking about?
Robin is bisexual. That just came out last week.
You thought Robin... like just worked with Batman and they didn't, you know, and they weren't fighting crime.
They
didn't have some.
Not do this.
Swear to God.
In the
NBC news story right here, Batman sidekick Robin comes out as bisexual and lets comic book fans know they are seen.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It was big news last week.
So like now they're going back and they're rewriting all these stories.
Bob,
no, they're not going to rewrite anything.
Congratulations, Robin is one of you.
Bob said, "I want to get back." To the Phillies.
Get it back to the Eagles.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, Robin's bisexual.
So they're going back and they're rewriting.
No, it's just you can look back now and know that he was bisexual the whole time.
Well, who was he?
We're talking about comic books,
with Batman, obviously.
Oh, now you're going to say it's a sure. Okay.
They're not going to rewrite the history of it.
Oh, my gosh. They're like,
no. Just going forward, he will bat both ways. And you can look back and see that he
puts a whole new meaning to the Riddler.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It really does. The Eagles are 27th.
I mean, his outfit. Come on.
Okay, come on. The Eagles are 27th in this week's ESPN NFL Power Rankings, which is atrocious. I will bet absolutely that they'll be better than that. What's more atrocious, though? Caring about power rankings. So I'm wondering, should we establish a ban on discussions of power rankings or they're ever being introduced into conversation on this show? If we get at four callers right now, four callers at 610-632-0975, you can take place in the jury because we'll all cast a vote. But if you want to cast on this, do you pay attention to power rankings? Do you care about them? I found out that they come out every Tuesday around lunchtime. Tuesday at lunchtime, you can find out where your team is in the power rankings. So a jury of our peers here, if you want to participate in it, 610-632-0975. Bob, I don't even have to ask you. I know where you are on this, I believe.
Well, it's almost like, do you care what other people think above you?
Well, this is a writers from around the league stacking teams.
I mean, in the end, does it... It doesn't matter. I don't want to downplay it. I don't, because it doesn't. I'll be honest. It interests me to take a look. Oh, where does somebody else have the Eagles? Where does somebody else, why does somebody else think higher or lower of the team that we're watching every Sunday? So I have interest in it. Yeah.
I have no interest in them.
I have very mild.
Okay.
Yeah, I would put mine as mild.
Okay, you got
tempered. Yeah, I don't completely disregard it, but it also, it's pre-week one, so nobody knows. I mean, Jalen Hurts could come out here and look like Tom Brady in year 12, and all of a sudden that changes. So it's going to change. It's an ever-evolving thing, much like percentages in baseball playoff chances, Pat.
All right, let's hear a jury of our peers. Brian on a cell checks in. Brian, where are you on power rankings? Do you care at all about them? I put Brian up, and he's not there.
Oh, he's zapped.
How about Ethan? Ethan, welcome into the Fanatic.
What's up? How you doing?
Ethan, where do you fall on this?
I don't think power rankings matter that much. It's all based on your opinions, and opinions aren't true. Some people think one way, some people think another way.
but you just got to believe in your team, man, and they'll be able to pull through.
So do you, you do not seek out a power rankings when you see the story on like a website or something?
No, I don't look at them that much because for me, I'm a big sports guy. I've played sports my whole life. Rankings aren't always right, and they're just someone's opinion.
Okay, I mean, that's all we offer.
Well, that's exactly why I didn't go down saying, what do I care about? So, I swear to God, Ethan, it's exactly why I didn't say, well, who cares? It's just somebody's opinion. Because that's what we do.
We peddle an opinion to everybody.
Exactly.
Useless, stupid opinions many times.
Yeah, but when these websites put it out, it's framed differently than just people. It's supposed to be, you know, these guys in this camp, this guy's seen team.
Yeah, and they are. It's their
beat. Some are, but the AFC West guys aren't looking at the NFC East team, so it's like, all right.
It's Pat in Bala joining us right outside our door. Pat, how are you?
I'm so adamant about this that I had to call up and say the power rankings suck. All right,
Pat, what do you do for a living?
I work with a couple of jagaloons, four jagaloons.
Oh, you work with four?
Yep, but I like my job and I appreciate my bosses in the company, but power rankings, I use standings as power rankings.
So, Pat, this isn't... Pat, you wouldn't be like a radio producer making a fake call, would you?
It
falls right in on this. I hate power ranking discussions.
Yeah.
Discussions of it. But
in season is more acceptable to me than preseason.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like preseason is just darts at a board.
You know what I know? I know that the guys, as you put out, like Mike Sando, who covers, I believe Mike does the Arizona Cardinals. Some writers that I know, some really, really good writers that I know right now, they don't know a damn thing about the Eagles.
No.
Except what they've talked, maybe they've talked to somebody who gives them a little bit of insight, but they haven't put their eyeballs on them. I know those guys watch football, so I know that they go, and when the regular season comes around, they'll see an Eagles game.
Sure.
They'll have a better opinion on it. Preseason doesn't matter, Jack.
No, God, no.
Jack.
No.
It's just a little.
So what do we decide?
Well, we're not banning it, but we will not. It will never be the focus of a segment. I think we're going to find a compromise here because Jamie and Bob give them some level of credence. I hate them, but if somebody wants to make it as part of a discussion, then we make.
No, what your name's on the show, John?
Yeah, but I'm. I don't
put it on the table.
I don't want to be a dictator, so I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to ban them. We're going to keep them. See, but if the conversation is stupid.
No, don't worry. I don't think Bob and I will be driving any segments with the latest power rankings. I occasionally like to glance at them and see.
We've never, we didn't do a ton of it, but do you think power rankings mock drafts by writers?
What about mock drafts by idiot radio guys and like 14 of them up to the window?
Those are good. They're real good.
See, now the thing is, though, you're our idiot.
Oh.
See, you're our idiot. So that's different.
Yeah.
I always will look at, if I see a mock draft that is done by guys who...
Like Daniel Jeremiah, I put some credence in. Because he was a scout.
He worked
in those rankings. So I read those.
People mock Todd McShay and...
I read those. Those are about the only three.
And Mel Kiper.
Mm-hmm.
And they mock them.
Because they're talking to the 32 GMs.
They really aren't, though.
Some. Maybe not all 32.
Some of them,
They're getting an idea of... Yeah. What teams need, what they're looking for.
It's educated. They have ears in the scouting community.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And so I will check out, you said Daniel Jeremiah. I'm checking out his work. I'm checking out Kiper and McShay.
Yeah.
I'm not taking it as Bible.
No.
But I know how hard that guys work, but I can tell you something. I'll take you right behind the curtain there. The amount of GMs that talk to Kiper and McShay, very small. Very small.
But how many of their scouts or underlings talk to McShay?
They know scouts everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
They know scouts everywhere.
So
I'll put it that way.
They get the trickle-down effect of the GM.
And guess, by the way, as people want to mock those guys, I know both guys work their asses off.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
And by the way, they are very competitive.
Well, we all know that Bill Tobin didn't talk to Mel Kiper.
Exactly. He didn't want any.
He wanted to fight him.
And
he talked to his mailman, though, but he didn't talk to Kiper.
By the way, very competitive with each other.
I don't doubt that.
Mel and Todd.
I
guess it's like two good writers at the same newspaper.
Oh, absolutely.
You're competitive. You're pushing each other.
Yeah.
And Mel Kiper eats pumpkin pie every morning for breakfast every day of the year.
That's amazing. I respect that.
A cup of coffee I believe, black coffee with pumpkin pie every day of the year.
So even if he's going on vacation, he's packing pumpkin pies
of the year.
That's amazing.
He is.
That is dedication.
Even me, who is as ritualistic as anybody, that's maniacal.
What if he went to Europe?
He is pumpkin. Well, first of all, I don't think he'd travel to Europe. I think there's things that there's.
So he only goes travel locations that have pumpkin pie.
No, I don't think that's it. If I remember Mel with travel, it was more he looks as vacation as just downtime. He doesn't want to work on vacation.
He's morphed into Sam the Eagle from the Muppets. As the years go on, he looks more and more like Sam the Eagle. I can't shake it.
Tremendous person. Tremendous person. Pat, get positive with us on the Eagles. We've all done this. So come on. Let's go.
Play the happy music. Come on, get positive. The happy music going.
Positive. Come on now.
Yeah. So the Eagles, they're a football team.
Yes.
And look, I think the best thing about this upcoming season is the fact that there are really no expectations for this team. And I'm not going to have to be stressed out over a win and a loss because I'm not expecting them to do anything. And it's
so you won't come in Monday pissed off.
Bob thinks that I'm not going to.
Okay. I've been told wait for this. Wait for Pat after they lose games.
I think it's adorable he's saying this. He will come in pissed off.
I'm not going to come in pissed off because I don't
promise.
I came in pissed off when I expected them to actually contend for something. Okay. I'm not expecting that. So the wins and the losses, honestly, I might be more pissed off if they win games because then it's gonna hurt their draft status. But it's a developmental year. And I think there's a lot of young, promising guys on this roster that you're going to be able to look at and evaluate and figure out if they are somebody you move forward with and not. Jalen Hurts obviously being the biggest one, but I mentioned him earlier, guys like Jalen Reagor, some depth guys. Do you see Landon Dickerson? So the fact that I don't have to focus on are they winning, are they losing, but I can focus on kind of everything else but the score is a nice change of pace. You can shake your head all you don't know me, Bob.
Okay, listen,
shaking my head, and wow, I can't believe you've grown
I've
up.
Grown. No, I've matured.
Words are one thing, actions another. If they're 3-2 after 5 weeks and they lose the following week, Egan will come in here pissed off.
No. If they're 1-0 and they lose the following week, Egan will come in here.
I'm telling you, I will be more upset if they end up winning 7 or 8 games because it's going to hurt their draft status.
And as we went over, you don't need a top three pick.
Pat, what I would tell you is I hate when my team has no chance to win anything. Where I know that they're not a playoff team. They're not a team that can win if they made the playoffs. I hate it when they win 7. I hate the 7-9.
Like the Chip Kelly's last year. Pat Shurmur comes in as interim head coach.
And then
they win the last game. I think they went from 14th to 20th in the draft.
I hate it.
And it sucked. That's what Doug Peterson did. I'll always thank him for not just the Super Bowl, but putting in a third string quarterback there.
I appreciate
escaping me.
That he did that on my first day. That was our first show. The Tank by Doug Peterson. And I will always appreciate Doug for that.
It got us Devontae Smith.
Yeah, and it got him to be able to maneuver, and Miami ended up paying.
I can't believe how bad they botched that. What a bunch of idiots.
They really did.
What were they thinking?
They got outplayed by Howie Roseman at the draft.
A lot of people do.
Again,
he's good at trades. He might not be good at picking the players, but he's good at trades.
Hey, the Delaware Valley's ultimate game room store since 1982. It's Royal Billiard and Recreation, providing the best in pool tables, shuffleboard tables, foosball, darts, and other games online at royalbilliard.com. I've had a lot of people giving me suggestions on that, and I'm make you happy. I'm leaning towards the Temple University one.
I like that.
If that ended up being Olivia's choice, I'm ending up that the father-daughter combination.
Well, if you get it, then you can guilt trip her into going to Temple.
I don't want to do that, though. She will not.
I mean, I'll do it for you.
She will not. She's not applying to some schools that are reaching out to her and trying to get her to apply, and she's ignoring them. And as a father, I want to say, are you being... I don't want to use words that I don't like to use. You're being, but she will not listen.
Well,
I don't even try because I shouldn't do that.
My dad yelled at me for not following up with the University of Phoenix and being Phoenix proud.
He thought
I was an idiot.
You could have been.
But look at me now.
Look at you. Look
I had
you
the last up. Laugh there, Johnny.
Look where you ended up. They missed it. Hey, in Cooney's Corner, Bob says two things can't come together at the same time. like chocolate and peanut butter?
Let's see what's in Cooney's corner.
Come on now, chocolate and peanut butter, they're great together except for you.
Yeah, this is why the Phillies team is so maddening, okay? We'll see at times, and we went into this season saying, all right, this is going to be a hitting team, right?
Oh, this is going to be a hitting team. We did.
And you're hoping that Wheeler, 2 or 3 years removed from the Tommy John surgery, might be close to an ace or an ace. Nola being hopefully what Nola was. All of that stuff. And then you said, well, Eflin, you don't know in the back end of the starting pitching. You just don't know. But the hitting will overcome it.
Sure.
And then the hitting does what they do, and they faltered, and they haven't been really good this year. And Alec Boehm hasn't been good. And Real Muto's been up and down. And Harper's been good lately, but wasn't expectation-wise as good at the beginning of the season. Then, all of a sudden, the pitching starts coming through, and things look really good there. And a prime example. We talked earlier about Rhys Hoskins being out for 14 games recently, a big part of their lineup. Jamie, probably correctly so, saying the big cog in the offense. He's out for 14 games. The pitchers are credible. They throw up a 3.79 ERA during those 14 games. That's okay.
Okay.
That's borderline good, right?
Sure.
Would you guys agree?
No, yeah. That's more than borderline good. That's good.
3.79 ERA. What does the offense do in those 14 games? They throw 2.86 runs a game.
It's terrible.
You know, it's crazy. They go 8-0, and then they come back in the next 11 games, go 3-8, and hit 174 in an 11-game span.
No, they didn't.
That's exactly what they did. Yes, they did. They went 60 for 344 in that 11-game span.
That can't be true.
Right after winning 8 in a row. They can't put the two things together. Pitching doesn't come along well, and hitting come along well, and they combine the two, and that's what you get. That's what good teams do. That's what division winners do.
All right.
And if the Phillies could do that with, what do we say, how many games left? 40-some games left? Maybe? Do you honestly feel they could?
No.
I mean, that's what it all boils down to.
I guess I don't honestly feel it.
I do.
But I would love to believe it.
Okay, so let's carry it further.
But I don't honestly believe it, no.
And they haven't showed that it can over 125 games so far. So, if they don't come together, idealistically, as I just said, is there one that can carry this team if the other isn't up to snuff?
I think this team would be tied for first place right now if they played adequate defense. So it's weird. Like, I mean, I think that there's a whole nother component. If this team just played adequate defense, they'd be in first place or tied for it right now.
Absolutely.
But what could carry this team? The bats could carry this team. The bats could. They could. Do I believe it's going to happen? No. But they absolutely. We could see the bats get really, really hot and carry this team and pull them along. I think we could. If I'm betting on one thing, I'm betting on bats.
Okay.
Because I've heard that we have an MVP candidate on the team, which I don't believe.
Well, tell that to the sports books.
I don't believe it.
NL.
Well, they'll put anything in a sports book to get you to bet it if people will bet it. I'm not doing that.
Come on.
No, that's what they do.
Yeah.
That's why they put Dallas's number in the sports book.
He's not second in the odds because he's not an MVP candidate.
Then put the money down on it.
I'm not.
I wouldn't.
It's Tatis Jr.'s to lose.
I don't believe the number.
But he's second. I mean, let's not act like he's not a legit MVP candidate.
All right, so could the offense carry this team to the division?
Well, the pitching's not going to do it. The offense would have to if I have to choose between the two, because you've seen them be, for the Phillies, exceptional.
I just saw them go a 174 average over an 11-game span.
No, that's what I'm saying. The pitching we just saw has been, for their standards, phenomenal.
So the pitching
has tried to carry you, and it's not good enough. The offense has to be the one that can carry you.
I think it's got
to
be that, too.
Yeah.
It's got to be the... Bob, if we have any hope, it's the offense.
And Rhys Hoskins has to play.
Do you have hope in it, Pat? Do you have hope the offense could carry it?
I have hope. I don't really have a ton of confidence, but I have hope. I mean, you have your offense... It's the most consistent in terms of guys being out there every single day. The pitching rotation obviously changes every day. So I have more hope than in the bats than in the pitching, for sure. Do I have confidence in it? Not really.
No, I don't have confidence in either one.
No, but it's possible. But you had that hope.
If you told me we wake up the last week of September, early into October, we're talking about those games in Atlanta matter, I will guarantee... It's because this team hit its way into the race,
yeah,
not pitched its way in. I guarantee that. But we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
So you Ranger Suarez, get it done.
I loved Ranger last night. They got it done. They did.
He was great.
Yeah. He did a great job.
He's been in one of the very few incredible bright spots this year.
By the way, Ranger, too, if you heard, is that wants to be a starter.
Yeah.
Does not want to be
in the lineup. Well, he always was.
Yeah, and he wants to be, more. And he absolutely does not want
to. Well, the fifth job's up for grabs.
I think he's
you might argue that the fourth job's up for grabs.
The fourth job is up
for grabs. Well, I mean, Eflin's fine. What? Wasn't talking Eflin.
Hey.
Well, Gibson, Nola.
Gibson.
I wasn't talking Wheeler.
Gibson's two, Nola's three, and then there you go. Hey, remember to support life-saving cancer research. Join us and our generous partner, Adam Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing, and make a donation today to the American Association for Cancer Research. Go to 975thefanatic.com/AACR because cancer research saves lives. We inch closer and closer to the Eagles' final preseason game. And there's hopefully we gave you a little sense of positivity today on this. We'll look forward to talking about the plan for Nick Sirianni and his team coming your way tomorrow. It's going to be a busy, busy Thursday. We will have game time and more. Be with us. John Kincaid Show telling you, stick around for Cuz Radio right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.